He is called already. Some of the participants in the shiur suggested that it's only right that since most of the people who participate in the shiur used to learn by Rav Soloveitchik, and we're always saying over his Divrei Torah, and maybe we should begin tonight with a few words about the Rav Zecharo Livracha. It's hard to, so you don't know where to begin, you don't know where to end. So I thought just to give a little bit of a perspective, my perspective, of the Rav's learning, the relationship that the Talmidim had with Rav Soloveitchik and learning, leaving out everything else. There was an awful lot that we're leaving out, but just a little bit of a perspective of the this part of the perspective. So the Mishnah tells us in the beginning of Pirkei Avos, Moshe Kibbutz Chayim Sinai Misar Lo Yoshua. And the Rav used to say very firmly and very strongly that if a person doesn't have a Rebbe who teaches him Torah, he'll never be Matzliach. If a person is going to learn on his own, he'll never be Matzliach. And even after learning by a Rebbe for many years and the person is already Avegestelt on his own feet, so the Rav always used to say he still needs a Rebbe. And even if the Rebbe passed away, he should always think in his mind, what would my Rebbe have said on this issue in learning and in Hashkofe? And in Hanhogen, Tzak, everything should be, what would my Rebbe have said about this? He always used to say that he learned by his father. His father poured a lot into him. His father taught him an awful lot. And he always used to think in the later years, even after he was away from his father, even after his father passed away, he would always think, in all issues, what would my father have said about this? And he would say accordingly, I just remember one shiur. Oh, I was in the Rav shiur 10 years, and I used to go to Maria a lot, and other drushes. Yotzai Drashas and Kinas Tshuva Drashas and everything, I remember just from all of the shiurim that I heard on one occasion that he said a shiur, I remember he said for the rabbinic alumni in the Beis HaMedrash, he said it was before Pesach and he spoke about Yoshnu Kulam in the middle of Daf Yikayim, and if everybody fell asleep, so the Mishnah says if everybody fell asleep, Lel Pesach, by the Seder, they're not permitted to continue eating the Korban Pesach. So what's the din Bizman HaZeh when we don't have Korban Pesach anyway? The only half he came, does the din apply or not? So the Gemara says it does apply. So he gave a whole hezbah. So he kept on apologizing in the middle. He said, if my, in Yiddish, of course, the shiur was in Yiddish. So he said, if my father would be here, he would slap me on the face for saying this. It's absolutely against my father's mahalach ha-machshava. But I never remember him ever saying anything like that on any other occasion. He always used to try to imagine in his mind what is the tradition that he has, what would his father have said, what would his grandfather have said on this sinya. That was always like that. And he was fond of a certain gedank that I heard from him a few times. I'm sure he must have said it more occasions than I heard. He gave a drasha on Parshas Korach, I remember. And was it Korach episongit shepet? And I remember I heard the drasha in Yiddish. What did Korach pick on the trelis for? If you have the mitzvah tzitzis has trelis and lavon, so what does he care that, what does it bother him so much? So the trailers you should only put in love and you shouldn't have to put in any trailers. What does it bother him that you put in trailers? You put in the trailers. So the Mefarshim have different explanations what Korach was driving at. So he said, Al Derech Adrash, he said, Adrush, part of which appears in Rabbeinu Hirsch's commentary on Chumash, but not in the commentary on Chumash in the Chorev, I think. One of the essays in the Chorev, but not the whole thought. Maybe it appears in Drush Torim. But the Rav, I'm not familiar, but the Rav said like this. He said that in life there are many things that we understand and many things that we don't understand. And the two parts of the tzitzis, the lovan and the chelos, represent these two things. The lovan represents the things that are very clear. And he referred to the Ravid, whenever the Ravid disagrees with the Rambam, so he says, Eina mechuvar. And when something is clear, so he says, Dvarim mechuvarim kisimla. Or first are simla. The Eina Eskem, so he says, Dvarim mechuvarim kisimla. Rav said, remember that in the days of the Tanakh, most of the dresses used to be white. They didn't have colored dresses. So that's why the Lashon would be, Dvarim Uchuvarim Kisimla, as white as a dress. So that refers to things that are clear. And the Treles is an allusion to those things that are unclear. Daimele Kisei HaKovoy, the things that we cannot, Daimele Yam, Daimele Rakia, the things that we cannot really fathom, that we don't really understand. They said Tchelis represents those things that we don't understand, and that means that you need a Rebbe. That's why there's a need for Moshe Rabbeinu. So Korach is making a revolt over. He says, Kol Eidum Kulim Kedoshim. Madu Atisnasu. We don't need a Rebbe. We can live with it. We all heard. Rashi quotes in Medrash, Kulim Shamim Misina Anochi Hashem Akecha. They all heard Aseret Adibus from the Shechina, so they can pass on the Shadows themselves. What do we need a Rebbe? That was the Nekuda that Korach was coming to pick on. And Moshe Rabbeinu told him no, and that's how he passed him, that every person has an area that he doesn't know. That even if you're the biggest genius like Moshe Rabbeinu, you always have to have a Rebbe. Everyone has to have a Rebbe. And if the Rebbe is not alive anymore, a person has to always try to figure out in his mind what would the Rebbe have said regarding this issue. That's what the Rav had a tremendous masoira. He had a tremendous masoira in Haloche, and in Machshove, and Hashkofe, and stories. A lot of the stories that he told about his father, and about his grandfather, about the Dayanim that he knew, about Rav Chaim Moiz, and about the others. My understanding was that a lot of these stories made a tremendous hashpo on him, on his whole way of thinking, and his whole outlook on life, and on halacha, and on shmiras hamitzvos and everything. And he used to transmit all of these. He used to tell over, not in one sitting, but over the course of time. He would tell over all of the halacha, and all of the hashkof, and all of the stories, and all the hanhogis. He had a masor of how to do hanhogis also, how to observe mitzvot. And he used to try to present all of this to the Talmidim. I remember the Rav's brother, Zuchan Levrach Shmuel Soloveitchik, told us once, I had him for chemistry. So he once told us, the non-science majors, I had the course in chemistry for the non-science majors. So he told us, in his language, he said, my brother, Yashebe, didn't have to be a genius to become such a big Talmud. He says, the father, Rav Moshe, poured so much into them. He says he and Rabbi Yashebe used to learn together by the father. He used to teach so much and scream so much. He says you have to be a genius to be an Amhar. It's not an Amhar. So to know how to learn, you have to be a genius. You have to be a goyim to know how to learn. His father gave them so much in halochin and hashkofin and hanoga, everything. He kept on hacking all the time. And Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, the Rav used to say this, Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, when he used to learn with his children, he used to be very makbid on the loshon, like the Mishnah says in Adias. When you transmit the halacha to the Talmidim, you have to not only give the teichin, the essence of the din, you have to give the precise lashon verbatim, the way you heard it from your Rebbe. It used to be very makbid. The Rebbe used to say that if when the father learned with them and they had to say it over at the end, if you'd say it over one heart differently from the way the father said it, he would slap them and he would scream at them and he would zittle them out. They have to say it exactly the way he did, and he was a big captain, because Moshe was a big captain when he learned with his children, because he felt this is something very serious. So that's why the Rav carried on this tradition. He was proud of it. He used to be a big captain. He said, over there, Rambam Hilchos Talmud Torah quotes from the Gemara, Zrok Mora B'Talmidim, after Onsevar and Apachad after Talmidim. And the Rambam talks about Af Chachmas Yomdali. The Rambam quotes the Gemara, Chachmas Shalom Adati B'Yaf, when the Rebbe was screaming and angry. And I remember on one occasion the Rav said he used to zidlois the Talmidim a lot when they weren't prepared. I remember we were learning Sanhedrin in the Rav Shia. So at the end of Sanhedrin, in my day, the Rav used to come in on Tuesday morning, and he gave a Shia for about 30 students, college students, for 2 hours. Then after that, he gave another Shia for another group of Smicha students, also 2 hours. And I remember a lot of times he hadn't eaten breakfast, so he would come in from Boston. In the beginning, he came in by train, and then later he came in by plane. So a lot of times he hadn't eaten breakfast. So he would eat the sandwich, he would have a sandwich he would buy from Sid and George across the street, and he would eat the sandwich in the middle of the shiur. He was talking, giving the shiur while he was eating the sandwich, because he didn't want to waste our time, didn't want to waste his time. Why should he waste a half an hour and eat breakfast? He can do both the bevasachas. He used to give 2 shiurim on Tuesday to 2 different groups. Then on Tuesday night, he gave a shiur Maria for many, many years. Then on Wednesday morning, he would give again the 2 shiurim, each one 2 hours, and then he would go back home. And later years, later, after he had his operation, so the doctor told him that he has to take it easy a little bit. He had a major operation on colon cancer. That was the year the Briskerov passed away. When the Rav said the Hesped for the Briskerov, back to the Shloshim, the Briskerov died on Yom Kippur, a little over 30 years ago. So the Rav said the Hesped to the Shloshim. So at the time he said the Hesped, he already knew that he was going in for surgery. At that time he was nervous about saying the Hesped. It came out a knockout Hesped. It was murdered. So after that operation, he was a little weakened. So the doctor told him that he has to take it easy. So the next year, I remember, the doctor said he should describe his Seder Ayoyim. So he said he gives 2 shiurim. So the doctor insisted he should give 1 shiur. He should be like, so what did the Rav do the next year? He gave 1 shiur on an easy, easy. So he gave one shiur, but he gave on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, and instead of 2 hours each one was 3 hours, 3.5 hours, sometimes 4 hours. And what was he learning that was easy? So he was learning a lot of Arachayim. He was learning his Kriyas HaTorah and Tzitzis and Tefillin, and then he learned Mishnah Yischala that he hadn't learned in many years. Mishnah Yischala with all the Russian and everything over there. It took quite a few months till he made a Siyum. That was the way he outsmarted the doctor. The doctor told him that he has to relax a little bit, he should only give one shiur. So he gave the one shiur 3 days a week, and it came out of Sach HaKol that it was more hours of simply talking, delivering the shiur than he had previously given. So the Rav was always a big captain. I remember in shiur when the Talmidim weren't prepared, or someone wasn't paying attention, he would get furious. I remember when we learned Sanhedrin, the Rav's first year I was in the shiur, we learned Sanhedrin 2 years. He learned all 90 blots in 2 years, and then he learned the last sugya of Yerani Dachas. He just left out Chelek. The Agarat and Chelek, he didn't do that yet. But he learned the whole Masechta in 2 years. So remember, at the end of the first parak, he once came in the morning, on a Tuesday morning, and the Rav always used to have somebody read the Gemara. So one of the boys read the Gemara, then he said, say the Taisus. He started reading the Taisus. Then he said, did you look in the Marshal? Because on the side of the Daf, it says, look in the Marshal, and look in the Marshal, the Shalab with the Girsa. So the boy said, no. So the Rav started to scheme. How do you understand the Taisus? You didn't look in the Marshal. He looks at the next one. Do you see the Mashal? He also says no. Did you see the Mashal? Also, the 3 boys. So he said, that's the end of the shiur. Closed the Gemara. He said, tell the Yoridei boys to come in. That was the end of that Sanhedrin shiur. He didn't want to go vital. The boys weren't prepared. He used to scream so much. I remember on one occasion, the Rav said in public, it is not going to ask Mechila from the Talmidim that he's Edel Zeis in the middle of the shiur. He says, that's the halacha. The Rav says, the Rambam says, you're not allowed to scream for no good reason at all. But if you see the Talmidim don't prepare, or if they're lazy, or they're not paying attention, so it's the obligation of the Rebbe to be makbid on them. That's the way his father used to learn with him. That's the way he used to do it also. And at the end of every shiur, he used to do like his father did. At the end of every shiur, he would always say, okay, let's review what we covered now. So he would ask, and what's the din? So he would be asking a certain boy. So the boy would say one word wrong. He'd say, no! He would start to scream. You have to say it over exactly the way he said it. It has to be exactly the way he said it. That's taka din chai v'adam loyma v'loshen rabbi. It came a point that it wasn't shaykh. It came a point that he realized that the boys there were too many boys that didn't understand Yiddish, so you had to switch over to saying English. If you have to switch, so you have no brerim. What did Rabbi Eliezer Shach do when he came to Eretz Yisrael? He used to give shiurim in Ivrit. In Panovich, he gives in Yiddish, and in the branch, where is it there? In the south, when he used to give the shiurim. And Ashdod, he used to give the shiur in Ivrit. Atnish kem brerim. The boys in Ashdod didn't understand the Yiddish. Rav Soloveitcher Goldstein, in the earlier years, he always said the shiur in Yiddish, and he used to say exactly Balosh and Rabbi. In the later years, he had no brera. He had to say it over in English. But he always tried to be makbid, to be medactic about that. That chai bottom lama Balosh and Rabbi. He used to do taka the way his father did, to be zrek mara b'talmidim, to be very strict with the talmidim. He always used to say, and he said, a talmid has to be very, very kofof to the Rebbe. I remember the way he epitomized how one has to be kofef to Rebbe. He once told us, I'm not sure, he told over a story that he once visited Rav Chaim. He hardly visited Rav Chaim. He was born in Prussian by his other grandfather. And then his father was in Chaslavich. And Rav Chaim died, I think, soon after the Rav's Bar Mitzvah. So I think he only visited Rav Chaim a few times, 2 or 3 times, Sach HaKol. But he had a great love. He used to write. He used to send him Rav Moshe Soloveitcher. He used to send Rav Chaim the Rav's Chidush HaTorah, his notebooks and so on. So he said that on one occasion he visited Rav Chaim, and as a little child he had a sore throat, so they were afraid that he must have had strep throat. So they called in a Goyish doctor. So the doctor was looking down his throat. So it wasn't so light in the room. So they were standing near the kerosene light, so he couldn't see so well. So Rav Chaim asked the Goyish doctor, do you need more light in order to diagnose what the story is? So the doctor said, wouldn't be a bad idea. But he didn't say yes. He just said, wouldn't be a bad idea. So the Rav says he remembers as a child where Rav Chaim told his father, Rav Moshe Soloveitcher, he should make the lamp higher on Shabbos. He should make the kerosene lamp higher. So he started to hesitate, his father, Rav Moshe Soloveitcher. So he said, but the doctor didn't say that he needs it. Let's first find out. So he said, Rav Chaim got angry at him, why he didn't listen right away. And so he turned to Rav Simcha Zelig. I don't know why Rav Simcha Zelig was there. Is there Rav Simcha Zelig that died? Rav Simcha Zelig was always around Rav Chaim, apparently. So he said, turn to Rav Simcha Zelig, and he said, Erez al Amoritz. He says, and his own son, Erez al Amoritz, you make the light higher. So he says, without batting an eyelash. Simcha Zelig made the light higher. So he was saying how a person has to be so kofif to the rib that even if you hold it, it's Tastakashe. Rab Chaim held that his son should have been kofef to him, that he should have listened to him without asking any kasha, even though there was no immediate sakona. They could have waited another 5 minutes. It wasn't. They didn't know yet what the story was. He held that Talmidim have to be very kofef to the Rebbe, and that's what he felt, that he was very kofef to his father and to his grandfather and to his tradition. The pasuk says, "Taratzi v'lona Moshe Moirasha kihilos yankim." So he pointed out that there's a difference between a Yerusha and a Moirasha. Yerusha means something that I get. Yerusha, I can do with it whatever I want. If I want, I can put it in the bank. If I want, I can gamble it away. If I want, I can burn it. I can do whatever I want. It's mine to do whatever I want. That's an inheritance. And a Moirasha is a heritage. A heritage means it's something that I got Yerusha, and my obligation and my responsibility is to see to it that I transmit it in its entirety to the next generation. So the Torah is described by the Chumash, Teretz Yivalon HaMoshe, as Amai Rasha. It's not that we don't have the right to do with it whatever we want. We don't have the right to keep it for ourselves either. I remember the Rav pointed out when he learned to Maria, there's a Gemara in the very end of Brachas. The very end of Brachas. The Gemara comments on the Pasuk in Yirmiyah, Cherev al Abadim v'noyalu. So the Pasuk shot in the Pasuk towards the end of Nevuat Yirmiyah, Cherev al HaKazim, Cherev al HaBavlim, they're going to be war, they're going to kill this nation, that nation, the other nation. So he says, Cherev al Abadim, the very last daf, Samach Gimel on Veis, and Yirmiyah Perek Nun. Cherev al Abadim and Ayalu, so the Meforshim on Tanakh say, who were the Badim? The Badim are the Kosmim, they used to have magicians from religions, whatever. And apparently these magicians, part of their religion was that they would hoard all of the knowledge. That's how the Rav interpreted it. They would hoard all of the knowledge for themselves. Like in the Middle Ages, the Galochim were the only ones who knew how to write and knew how to read. And they're the only ones who knew any signs and knew anything, and no one else knew anything. So the Pasuk is complaining, a curse on all of these Kosmim that they hoard all of the knowledge for themselves. So the Gemara says, even though the Pshuta Shal Mikra is referring to the Goyish Galochim, the Goyish Kosmim, but the Gemara has al derech hadrash, cherev al sanem shal tamid hachachamim, a curse on those who learn Torah, sheyoshrim bad bevad v'yoshkim haTorah. So what is this over here? So some of Farshim say that it means a person who learns without a chavrusa. There were many gedolim who learned without a chavrusa. And the Mesilas Yisharim has a different shot when he quotes this Gemara. He says it refers to somebody who sits and learns in his own room and he doesn't look to see what's happening in the outside world, has no musod of what's happening in the world. So his learning may not correspond to reality. He probably won't know what he's talking about. You have to know what a chicken looks like. You have to know what a pot of soup looks like. You have to know what people look like. If you don't know anything about the outside world, how can you understand the Torah? Torah is how to act in the outside world. So different pshat. So the Rav said, but all the pshatim don't fit into the pasuk. What has the pasuk got to do with Talmid HaChachamim? So he thought the pshat was, there are many Talmid HaChachamim who want to hoard all of the knowledge for themselves. Like he mentioned in the Sefer Hasidim, he complains, the pasuk quotes in the Sefer Hasidim, that he complains about the Talmidim of the Balei HaTesis. They used to give shiurim the Balei HaTesis. The Talmidim used to write notes. So sometimes they wouldn't want to lend the notes to the Talmidim of the other Rebbe. They wanted to be the only ones who knew the Emes of Pshat in this Gemara. They didn't want to lend their notes. If they're afraid someone's going to take the notes and not give it back, that's a different story. So make a Xerox copy. Well, what are you worried about? So if a person wants to hoard all the knowledge, that's what the Gemara gives a curse. And now that's why they picked on that pasuk, because the Kosmim, the Badim, in the days of Yirmiyahu HaNavi, that was their derech. They used to hoard all of the knowledge for themselves. That's why in the days of the Rishonim, they called the Goyish script, they called Latin Ksav HaGalochim, because the Galochim were the only ones who knew how to write it. The Hamoinam were illiterate. So that's what the Rav used to have, this attitude, this feeling, that we have an obligation. How does the Mishnah say? Moshe Kibbe Torah Misinai. And Mesorah Yeshua, the Pasuk says, Reili Marti Yasim Chukim Mishpatim Kasha Tzivani Hashem Alakoy Kisedo Yitzel Nuchum HaShakadosh Baruch Hu Mitzava Moshe Rabbeinu Vadab Hashem Moshe Leimer. Leimer Yisrael, he's commanded to tell over everything to Bnei Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu had to transmit everything to Bnei Yisrael. So the Rav felt that it's not only by Moshe Rabbeinu where he was explicitly commanded, it's a chiyuv on anybody. Anybody who has any knowledge in Torah is mechuyav to share it with us, mechuyav to give it over to other people. So the Rav used to try to transmit hakol bakol mikol, everything that he had, he tried to give over to the next generation in its entirety, with the stories and with the hanhogas and with everything. He tried to depict what the Gedolim were like, that he knew, that he met, and their attitudes and so on. He felt that this was his obligation. Of course, it's not shy to hear from the Rebbe everything kol ha-tarikula. There were many Gemaras that the Rav said he never learned with his father. Like on the Yortzeit Shir, he always used to say the Shir on an Inyan and Bracha, something in Megillah, Kriyas HaTeira, or he used to give once on Tzitzis and Kiddush and Avdallah and Dechasamaz and all the Lachinyon. And then one year he got up and he said, his father's yard side, he never learned these things with his father. Brachas and Megillah, this he learned on his own. His father, he learned Noshim and Zikin and Kachim. So one year he said he's going to give a share on Erech Simon Karas, Edom Sir Karas. So he gave a share. This he heard from his father. He said, over Yisrael, the whole Arichas, and the Chelek HaGodah was also on Shtoris that year, I remember. So then he realized that people didn't follow. So the next year he made an announcement that last year he said something that he heard from his father. He's not going to do that anymore. He's going to switch back to Brachas and Megillah, to the last Erech Haim and Yonim. So the things that he didn't learn everything with his father. So what do I say that he had a Masor on Brachas? So the Gemara has such a thing in Temura, in the beginning of the second paragraph. The Gemara speaks about Asniel ben Knai, a figure in Sefer Shoftim. So the Gemara had a tradition about this fellow, Asniel ben Knaz. He was one of the Shoftim that the Me'evlosh of Moshe Rabbeinu, after Moshe Rabbeinu passed away, Nishtakhu several hundreds, different opinions, some say over a thousand. Many halachas were forgotten. The Hechzir Asniel ben Knaz bitpil puloy. How can you be machzir bitpil puloy? So the Gemara says there what it was. They were kalvachemers and so on. Because we assume, like the Tosefta says in Sanhedrin, that kol ha-Torah kula inyan echad. The whole Torah fits into one big system. It's all one big pattern. So if you know, it's like a big picture, like a painting. So let's say if you have a jigsaw puzzle. So if you only have 10 pieces and it's a 100-piece puzzle, so how do you know? You don't even begin to know what the picture is supposed to look like. But let's say it's a 100-piece puzzle and you have 95 pieces. So you can already figure out what the 5 missing pieces are. So if a person learns 90% or 80% of the Torah with his Rebbe, he has a tradition on so much halacha and hashkafa and agoda and so on from his Rebbe, so he can already guess, he can already figure out what the missing parts were, just like Asniel ben Knaz. Was machzor bil pupu, he was able to figure out what kavachem means b'derecha lachavero, by comparing all the dinim, seeing how they fit into one big pattern. So that's what the Rav used to do. He took that derech that he got from his father and he used to apply it to the other gemaras, which he never learned with his father, and he was able to figure out what his father would have said on those inyanim as well. What exactly was the derech? What exactly? That's hard to define. What was the Rav's derech? So I remember on one occasion, the Rav was giving a talk. So he mentioned that there was some professor from the seminary, from the Jewish Theological Seminary, who had just published a book, and he writes in his book that the reason why the Tannaim were makel so much by sukkah, when you construct a sukkah, a lot of times you see people sit in a sukkah, it's windy over here and it's over there, they use lovewood and they use shtayim telchos m'shlishi safira tefach, they don't have 3-4 walls, and they use good achis and they use good asik. The doifen doesn't touch the floor, and the doifen doesn't reach the sock. It's a gap over here and a gap over there. The hole's all over the place. And if you use all the coolers, it'll be pretty chilly in the sukkah. So some professor wrote in his book, why did the Tannaim make so many coolers in the sukkah? So he says, he tries to document it historically, that there was a scarcity of wood at that time in the days of the Tannaim. And Pashut, if you'll require that they should build a full sukkah, it's just impossible. It's not shach, they won't be able to build a sukkah. So the rabbis had to be lenient, so they had to say that you can make a lovewood with a gurachis, with a gurasik, with a shtayim kochosim. So people said, apikursis, what do you mean? This halachis is not. So the Rav said, this per se doesn't bother him. He doesn't know that this is apikursis, just to say. He said, this doesn't explain the halacha. He says, he doesn't think that per se is apikursis. He said, take for example, he said, during the Second World War, the American government was afraid that Nazi Germany was developing atomic energy to the extent that they would make an atom bomb, and they would be able to rule the whole world. So the American government commissioned a whole group of expert physicists to sit and break their heads, and to figure out exactly how to make an atom bomb so that we should make sure that America wins the war, that the Germans shouldn't be so powerful. So that's a fact. That's a fact. That's the background of the thing. But does that explain how the atomic bomb works? No, you have to have a formula. There's zelichud v'zelichud, the historical background of why, what prompted, what motivated the American government to have a committee to work on this is the history. But how does it work? So for that you need a formula. So he said the same thing the Gemara says, and Mishum Iguna Kili Berabonim, that they were makel, that had echod his name on Bayagun and many other kulas. So the Gemara says, Mishum Iguna Kili Berabonim, what does that mean? What do you mean, Shumigul? If the woman is an Eshi Sish, I can make it. So the Gemara says, no, it's because Milsa David Elegluy Loy Meshakri Inshi, or it's because Mitarchem Meshach Ma'at Allah B'Seif, Ekal Talah B'Tchilos, Isha Daikon Mintz, but the Gemara has two as bare what it is. So So what does the Gemara say? Mishum yigun akil barabona, what's the kula? So the Rishonim matizach over there. So the Rav thought pshat in the Gemara, this is not like Tesis. Tesis understands on that Gemara that minataritaka, the woman is an eshishish, she's not allowed to remarry. Nachachamim amata, the eshishish to marry. Ayistachin koch laka bikumbi yasei. So netoazazach Tesis sirah. So Tesis comes up with a new concept. Whenever it's baldova hadoime, whenever it's a dova hadoime, if it looks, if you can package your din derabbanan in such a way that it sounds like it's a din deraisis, if you can fool the people into believing that it's a din deraisis, then you have yesh koach laka bikum v'yaseh. That's what it sounds like, Taisa says. Stachapela diga Taisa. So the Chazanish writes in his sefer, that's what the Reform rabbis say. You can allow the balabatim to drive right to shul on Shabbos because of whatever. No, they're going to say yesh koach laka bikum v'yaseh b'dover adayim is ashver avod. So the Chazanish reinterprets the Taisa. He says that Taisa meant the same as the Ramban. The Rav Soloveitchik also, the Rav, when he gave once, he gave a lecture for the RCA, I remember, once in Pioneer, I think Pioneer, I remember. So he was talking about this theme. So he said that the Gemara doesn't mean to say, Mishum Miguna, they were Mekel, Menatera, she's Asura, Midiravana, she's Matera, Sein Koch Lakam, Bikum Yasei. He said it means that there was a Shas Hatchak. Like in America during the Second World War, there was a Shas Hatchak. They were afraid that the Germans were going to beat them to developing the bomb. So the Gemara is just describing what the Shas Hatchak was. Until that time, it was assumed that if the Dover should be Erev, you need to aid him to be Matam and Eshesish. But there was a Shas Hatchak. There were people who were being killed. There were people who were missing. And the women were Agunas. So Mishum Aguna, the Chachamim convened a committee. And they told the committee, you have to work on this. So that's just the historical background of this. And then the committee was working and working what they come up with. So they came up with a klal that exists in other areas of halacha. You know, in Chulin, in the Gemara Rosh Hashanah, there are Gemaras, but the Gemara has a din that milsa David in the Gelu Eloi Meshakri and Shri. There are such umdinis. Except whereas the Chachamim never, until the days, until that Kufa, Rabbi Kivit, they never realized that they didn't think that it could necessarily apply over here also. So then after thinking it over, they came to the realization that that din there is, so that it existed already in other cases, that din can solve the problem of the Aguna also. Or the other side, the Gemara has a suffix, what the heter is based on. Or the other side was, that there's an umdin in the muchach that isha daiko mitzvah. So that's why we assume that the husband is that. So he said, the mishum miguna kila berabona, that's not the yisoid of the heter, that's the historical background of the heter. He said, I took the course for the non-science majors, I took the chemistry course. So what did we study? So we used to study a lot the historical background of these chemical discoveries. What prompted them to come to this conclusion and how did they come about? It was Chicago information. But it didn't, not everything that we studied was chemistry, it was history. For the chemistry, you need, or the chemistry of the physics, you need the formula. So that's what the Rav said. That's nice and fine and voiled that you're going to tell me that there was a scarcity of wood in the days of time. That could well be. That could be that's the reason why the Tanoim saw that there's a Shas Hatchak. They better come up with an answer. They have to work on it. So they worked on it. So they said there always was. They didn't invent Lovud. Lovud is halacha meishu mesina. But perhaps that's the chat that Lovud. Right. Maybe Lovud was always a din in Hilchas Shabbos and Mechitzas. But by Sukkot it's not a din Mechitzas. By Sukkot it's a din of Doifen. There are differences in halacha. Tesis and Rav Chaim has in his sefer. There are differences between a Mechitzas of Shabbos and a Doifen of Sukkot. So maybe until the days of this, maybe this is the background. There was a scarcity of wood. So maybe it never dawned upon them that they should apply lower, they should apply good achis and good asik and so on. And then when they saw there's a shas hatchak, maybe that is true that there was a scarcity of wood, then they thought about it. They came to realization, no, there's a solution to the problem. Use the din that's over here. The din over there applies over here just as well. But just because you have a historical explanation, that doesn't explain the formula. So that's what the Rav was explaining at that time. The halacha has to work with formula. What are we trying to do when we learn Gemara? We're trying to figure out what is the formula that tells us how does this din tick? How do I know whether it's basa b'chalav? How do you determine whether it's nevela or shchuta? How do you determine whether it's a treif or it's not a treif? How do you determine whether it's a kosher a star or a pasul a star? So you have to have klolim, you have to have rules and regulations. So that's what the Rav was always working on. And that's what he had a tradition from his father, from his family. That's what he used to say. The father taught me how to read in between the lines. He says to Rav, where did he get all this pshatim from? So he said, his father taught him how to read in between the lines. Remember Rabbi Shusheim used to tell us that he once came home with the Rav from Maria at the end of this year. The Rav was learning brachas for many years. And brachas was so much agadita. And the Rav used to spend an awful lot of time on all the agadita to explain with Mar Nevuchim and with Kuzari and with this and with that. He used to give arichas to explain every cholim. The Gemara has in Perek HaRoi, all the cholim, he would interpret every cholim. and why it's done, what this represents, with all the hashkafa and everything. So I remember Rabbi Shusham Zechanan Baruch said, he once asked the Rav, Rabbi, where do you get all this? Where do you get this whole yesod in hashkafa and Jewish, the kerech of Agarta? So he said, why don't you ask me on the halacha, the Rabbi asked me. He said, no more or less the halacha, we can figure out. You have a little bit of how. Where do you get on the Jewish, on the Agarta? So he said, Father taught me how to read in between the lines. That's what he used to say on different occasions. That was the, and Father taught how to read. His tradition was how to figure out the klolim. People knew that the Rav wasn't such a big bucky. In a certain sense, he was a buck. In a certain sense, he was not. You see, we usually think of Dikias in the sense a person is dripping with a lot of little details. He knows every daf and every yomad and every tesis dimamasa and every tavarfene or zaruah and this. The Rav, when he gave the shiur, he was never interested in our zaruahs. He wasn't interested in raviyos. He wasn't interested when the boys would hakum sometimes. The Miri says fakert. He would get so furious. Don't bother me with the Miri or the Tosfei Harosh. The Tosfei Harosh. Stop bothering with the Tosfei Harosh. He just wants to learn Gemara, Rashi, Tosfos, the Rambam, the Rashba, the Ramban, the Ritva. The main Rishonim, Rabban Osha, is not interested in these obscure things. Aksav Yad, but no Chazak. He doesn't learn with the Ruah. He's not learning with the Ravon, with the Raviyos. That's not his. He's learning what the basic Rishon. All right, if you have a Shaila Allah HaLamayisim, and in Shulchan Aruch, they talk about an Ozeru, HaFinish Kemperis. You've got to figure out what the Ozeru said. So you have to open up the Ozeru and see. Or if you get stuck, I remember if he got stuck and he couldn't figure out Pshat, so whoever would help, tell me an Ozeru, tell me a Tesis Reed, tell me a Ksav Yad, whatever you'll come up with, Givaldik. But if everything is working well with the Rashi, Tais, and the Rambam, so he didn't need any of these obscure Rishon. He wasn't interested in Chikav things in Gemara. He wasn't interested. He was trying to figure out the klolim. He wasn't interested in the prophet. I remember he told over a story. He said as a child, on one occasion that he visited Brisk, so the Brisk Gedayan, Reb Simcha Zelig, told him over a psak. He said he didn't hear from Reb Chaim. He told him over a psak from Reb Chaim. I think he said that Reb Loza Moshe Hurwitz, when he was appointed the Rav in Pinsk, so I think Pinsk is one city together with Stolen, no? There were a lot of chassidim. My father-in-law was a Stolen chas. He came from Pinsk. I think there are a lot of Hasidim there in Pinsk. So all the Sefer Torah in Pinsk were written with the Ktavari, with the Tzaddik backwards. On the top of the Tzaddik, here the Young Israel Tzaddik. Oh, this is this didn't take a stand. This Tzaddik doesn't take a stand. See, on top of the Tzaddik you have two heads. You have the right head and the left head. So the left head, each head has a neck that goes up to it. So the left head has a neck and then it has the head going to the left. And the Shad is on the right head. So in the Ksav Beis Yosef, in the regular Ashkenazi Ksav that all the Misnagdim use, so you have the both heads facing the left. You have the neck and the head, and then the neck and the head. And the Ksav Vari is Fakir. The right head is going, sticking to the right. Sticking to the right. This one has it in the middle. They didn't want to get involved in the Machlokes. Yeah. So Rabbi Loza Moshe Hurwitz, when he was appointed the Rav in Pinsk, so he looked all the Sefer Torah written by Chassidus Sofrim. So he told the Sefer that they have to change every tzaddik in the Sefer Torah because they're all puzzle and he can't blame for his Torah from a puzzle of Sefer Torah. So he sent a letter to Rab Chaim to ask his chavizda. So the Dayan, Rab Simcha Zelig from Brisk, told the Rav as a child, as a little boy, must have been before Bar Mitzvah. So he told the Rav as a child that Rab Chaim sent a response to Rab Loza Moshe Hurwitz that he holds that it's not necessary, that all of those things that it says in Shulchan Aruch, all the long Mishnah Berurah is about the Tzuras Oseas, the Aleph and the Beis and the Bad and Mishmeres Tam, put out a book with all the pictures, with all the diagrams. So they say, Varfanon, Azar Pachar, that this is Pasal and that's Pasal. And the Mishnah Berurah says, this is Pasal and that's Pasal and that's Pasal. Abchaim and Nitya Altanzer. In the Shulchan Aruch, it says, like the Mishnah Berurah, just there's machlaikas in about this detail, about that detail. Abchaim held that all of these things are not ma'akiv. The details are not ma'akev. As long as it looks like a tzaddik, as long as it looks like an aleph, it's not ma'akev b'dievet. And the Rav used to say over that story, and the Rav said as a child he has to dine in Brisk. It's against the Gemara, that there's a Gemara by Kutzah. Shul Yud is ma'akev. Aye, the Yud has a tzuras Yud. The Gemara Menachah says the Yud has a tzuras Yud, even if it's missing the Kutzah Shul Yud. So why should it be possible? Whatever. He didn't know exactly what the teretz was. But the way he told over that story about Rav Chaim's psak, the way he heard from the dine, Rav Chaim's psak and the and the Tzuras Oisius, and the Tzaddik, and so on, that the details are not Miyakev, that sort of, a lot of us had the impression that that set the tone for the Rav, that he wasn't so makbid on the details a lot of times. In Halacha, he always tried to figure out what the Klolim were, in order to figure out the formula. A lot of times there's a twist, there's a Yotzim and a Klal. Like a Tosis has a Kasha, so they say, well, that Klal only applies in this case, that case, the other case. The Rav had no Gidul to go through, that's why I think the Rav didn't, my impression was that the Rav didn't really enjoy Paskeng Shana. The Rav used to say very often, Ech bin Ishkin Rav, Ech bin Amalamed. So I think I understood that what he meant was he didn't like the Paskeng Shana, because the Paskeng Shana is, you have to deal with very little details. You have to have a lot of gedul, which the Rav didn't have so much gedul. You have to have gedul to listen to the Shaila. The Rav didn't enjoy listening to Nudnevata, a complicated story. And you have to have a lot of gedul to go through a lot of details. A lot of times when you pass in the Shaila, there's a quirk of a detail that for some obscure reason it doesn't apply over here. The Rav didn't enjoy little details. Aloha, I see, you have to know details. But the Rav used to...
My wife asked
one,
she said, take my
mouth. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. So we, those who heard the story from the Rav about Rav Chaim's psak on the Tzur Associates, we had the impression that he took that as a klal, that you should place more stress on klalim. So that's, the Rav didn't have the keys. Let's say you tell him, there's a Gemara in the end of Bab Metzia that says a certain din. So he didn't remember the din. But whenever there would be a klal, some principle, or some concept, or some definition of something, not some nitty-gritty details, that he would know. He would have a bekiyas from other mesichtas on a klal. He would. I remember the first shiur, when I was in the Rav shiur, the first shiur on Sanhedrin, so the Gemara in the beginning of Sanhedrin gives a distinction between Hoidos v'Havolos and Gzeilos v'Havolos. So what's the difference? So the Rav said at that time, there's a Meiri, he surprised us, he said, there's a Meiri that's quoted by the Shita and Gubetzis and Bava Kama Dafainam, that his little boys almost fell off the chair, a Meiri and Bava Kama. But Esdenas et Tarafilu Boalimoy, that there's a difference in the din of Kamle b'Derabminay, whether it's a Hischaibis Midas or it's a Chiv that the Torah imposes upon the person. And he showed all the Gemaras, but the Gemara makes a distinction between a Hischaibis Midas and a Shibu that the Torah imposes. So he interpreted that that's what it means over here. You have to have halachic concepts. Whenever you work in any discipline, you have to know what the terminology is. What are the, let's say you're going to discuss something in chemistry, so you can't start telling me about a sine and a cosine and an integral. That's the mathematics. So if you're going to work something in physics, you can't work with klalim from chemistry. Work in chemistry, you can't work with klalim of physics. Every discipline has its own categories of thought and has its own concepts. So in halacha also. In halacha, you have to work with halachic concepts. In order to know a halachic concept, you have to know a lot of different gemaras to know, is there a distinction between this and that al-pidin? So that kind of bekiyas the Rav did have. He didn't have always a bekiyas with all, he didn't know all the shittas. He wasn't interested in knowing all the shittas. And he didn't have a yediyah, all the details, all the nitty-gritty details in the Gemara. But he had the yediyas, he used to quote bekiyas and yediyas, for klolim to show that such a concept exists, such a category of thought exists. And this is how he would develop his formulae. This is how he would try to figure out what the formula of the halacha was. I remember before I came to the Rav Shi, I also was a good Talmud in the yeshiva, Baruch Hashem. But I had a very childish hasoga. I used to think there's so many details. The Gemara is full of details. Keseder. I remember one of the Apikursim, I read, I think Heinrich Heine, became a Meshuman. I think Heinrich Heine makes fun of the rabbis. They're always fighting in the Talmud about such little details. Always Beit HaShinol DeBiyantov, a little details. So those people who know Beit HaShinol DeBiyantov, know Beit HaShinol DeBiyantov is not a detail. Achon de Rabbe, Mukta, whatever. Major stuff. But he didn't have a hasoga, so he thought, an egg is one. Yonta, what kind of details? So even without that, when you learn Gemara, a lot of times you get the impression that fighting about little details, that's right away. You came into the Rav Shir, he would knock that out of your mind. No! He would always go menakala la kovid. Let's say you come up to a machlekes, so before he begins to explain the machlekes, he would say, but from the fact that they argue about this, this shows that they agree on 25 other things. So let's first spend time to figure out what they agree upon. So he would depict the whole picture, he'd give you a whole background. And after he gives you the whole background and the nature of this din is this, nature of this din is this, you just quote Marmakaim's from Gemara's and everything. And then he would say, and what's the din in this case? So then you would begin to realize, oh, this little machlek is in detail, this is not a machlek in detail, this depends how do you define that, how do you define the major cloud. If you give this definition, then the detail is going to come out to be yours. If you give that definition, the detail is going to come out to be mutter. So that was one of the things that that hit me and hit many of the other Talmidim right away. He wasn't interested in details, and when there would be a machlekes in details, he would always succeed in showing the way it was some major machlekes in the definition of the klal. This was just a nafkemina, but the major machlekes was what's the klal that's working over here. And he would spend a lot of time showing, from the fact that they argue about this, it shows that they agree on 25 other things. He would be able to derive from the machlekes what there's no machlekes about. They quote in the name of Rab Chaim Volozhin, and there's a little sefer just like there's a small sefer, Maise Rab, has all the Hanhogis of the Vilna Gaon. So there's such a small sefer that's called Keser Roish, by Rab Asher Tiktina. He was a Talmud of Rab Chaim Volozhin. He said, Shurim on the Volozhin Yeshiva. He's the one who wrote two svarim, one on Brachas, one on Nozir, that's called Birchas Roish. He said, Shurim and Volozhin, Bechai Rab Chaim Volozhin, during Rab Chaim Volozhin's lifetime. So this Birchas Roish, Rab Asher Tiktina, was very Makudiv Rab Chaim Volozhin. So he wrote the sefer, Keser Roish, his name is Rab Asher. He called this farm with the name Roish. So he called this sefer Keser Roish. These are the Hanhogas of Rab Chaim Volozhin. So he has like in the Maaseh Rab, Hanhogas, and Tzitzis, and Tzillin, very unusual things. The only going wasn't that unusual. The only going just gives Chayshish for this Shita, that Shita. Chaim Volozhin is that this many very strange, unusual things. Then in the end, he has Hanhogas and attitudes and opinions about different things. So he quotes from Rab Chaim Volozhin, what is a Chiddush? What's the definition of chiddush at Tarvosai Stafidish? So he says, not that you come up with something new that no one ever heard before. No, chiddush means when you mavara the inyan so well that it becomes so clear, Tarvosai Stafidish. That's by the Rav. The Rav wasn't interested in inventing new things. He just wanted to understand what it said in the Gemara, what it said in Rashi, what it said in Taiz. What's the klal? What's the formula? How does it din work according to Rashi? How does it din work according to the Rambam? How do we paskin? How does he always used to try to do lasukah shmeitz and leave it to Hilchasa. When he used to, it wasn't, he didn't want it to be esoteric. And other yeshivas, the Talmidim gauge the greatness of the Rosh Yeshiva. They say it was such a great shiur. If everybody gets lost after 5 minutes, that means that it's a great shiur. The Rav was punkt faket. He would go min akal al akavit. He would first give you the background, tell you there's a din of basa b'cholo, and basa b'cholo there are issues, there are bishon basa b'cholo, there are bonon, there's kavushin, and this, and he would start building up an inyan min akal al akavit. He would have you follow. The people would follow from the beginning to the end. He had people following hours and hours and hours. He used to say shurim hours long. I remember on the yard side, the rabbi used to say shurim on the night of the yard side. Then he would learn mishnayis on the morning of the yard side. There was a family tradition from Rab Chaim. He left the tzavod that none of his descendants should fast on any of the tanaisim. He considered everybody a chol shem b'sakana. Only on Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur, you're only allowed to eat if you're chol shem b'sakana. But on the other tanaisim, chol shem b'sakana is allowed to eat. So he left the Tzavos, so none of them fast on the other Tanis. And the Rav said that he wasn't going against family tradition. He says, by him it's not so. He does fast on the Tanis. He said, he doesn't feel that he's a Chayav Shem B'Sakana. He followed all the tradition, but sometimes you live in different circumstances. We eat much healthier food than Rab Chaim Brisket. Maybe they talk that they had no milk, and they had no cheese, and they had no flesh, and they had no bread. They had nothing. They were fasting all the time. So maybe they weren't healthy, but he said he feels that he's healthy. He used to fast on his yard side also. Not only did he fast on all the Tisha B'Av and on Sor B'Teves on G'day, he used to fast on the yard side also. So after he would daven shachris on the yard side, so the boys would go to eat breakfast and he wasn't going to go eat. So he would tell the boys, we're going to learn 9 o'clock. So he would sit down at 9 o'clock and start learning Mishnayis. On his father's yard side, he would learn Mishnayis, the program that began with the name Moshe ben Chaim Alevi. I don't remember all the years that I went. I don't remember that he ever finished all of the program. Moshe ben Chaim Alevi. He never got that far at all. He never got that far. So he would sit and say the shiur. Many years, he would sit from 9 o'clock in the morning till 4:30 in the afternoon. He would sit. And the students would go out for lunch, and they would come back. They would go to college, they would come back. They would go at finals. It was final time then. It was always intercession. So they'd go for finals, come back. The dean would walk in and they'd walk out. Dr. Belkin would sometimes come, and he would go to meetings. People would be going to the bathroom, going to eat, meetings, and he would just sit and learn Mishnah. A big room, not as big as this, the best manager, a big room. And he would just learn the Mishnayos the whole day, wouldn't walk out. And quite a few times I remember, the boys told him, Rebbe, we'd better daven minchah, we're going to miss the shkia. He was learning from that, and the people who would sit would follow the whole day. He would explain everything. Or the yahrzeit shiur, he would give at the night of the yahrzeit, he would give, that's the only time he wouldn't read a text. The Rav always liked to give a shiur on a text. He'd learn a Gemara, the text would sometimes be Rambam, once in a while he would read. A lot of times the text would be Shulchan Aruch, unusual. Very unusual to give. He used to give on Ebenezer sometimes, certain sections, Choshe Mishpot, Yeruday is Upgeret, Arachayim used to give Shurim, he used to read in a Veinik, the text, the Shulchan Aruch with the Shach, the Taz, he hardly ever read, but the Shach he would read, Biragro, he would read in a Veinik, he would like to read a Mochamis in a Veinik, it was like a challenge, it's like climbing Mount Everest, it was such a big, to read every line in a long Mochamis was such a challenge, the Ramban has, the long complicated Arichas, and so he would like to read in a Veinik. He would read, remember the Sefer HaChinuch, he would sometimes read a Maria, he would give a shir. Minchas Chinuch, he would give a shir. For years before his father passed away in Yeshiva, he would give shir in Minchas Chinuch. He would always like to read some text in a wedding. So the one time during the year that he wouldn't give a shir in a wedding, that was the yahrzeit shir at night. He would give like a classical shir klali, like a tulpal shir. So he would start off by listing four or five gesunte kashet, and then he would chazer over the kashet, make sure everybody understands that kasha like an iron wall. It's impossible to answer these kashets. He would make azoy gishmak the kashets, and then he would start to develop a yisoid, and then he would show the way based on his, he would prove that the yisoid is correct. Based on his yisoid, you can forever all of the kashas. And he would go one by one and explain it. And he would spend 2 hours like this. That was the chelek halacha. Then he would give the chelek agada. It would be 2 hours also. I remember for years and years and years, that's what it used to be. It used to be 4 hours, 4.5 hours, 5 hours would be so long. I remember sometimes it would be snowing. It was in the middle of January. So he used to say jokingly in Yiddish, he says, "You can't go home anyway. There has snowstorm outside. So I'm going to keep on saying this, you would go on." And the people would follow. They would follow. He explained everything. You could follow. Not everybody understood to the same extent, but they would all follow. I remember Dr. Belkin, Zechon Baruch, would tell us how fortunate we are. He said he learned in Radin. He said Rav Naftali was the Rishon Rav Naftali Trop. He said, "How many boys understood Rav Naftali Shia? A handful of boys." He says, "Your Rebbe is Meiridik." He says, "He gives the Shia Kemat. Everybody understands if you're intelligent and you prepare. You didn't even have to prepare that much. As long as you knew what the words were. The Rav would explain everything. If you weren't prepared and he caught you, he would scream. He would throw you out. He would get so angry. But you could follow without preparing so much also. He would go Menachal on the cover. He would explain everything. By him, it wasn't the kunst that everybody should get lost after the first 5-10 minutes. No, the kunst was that everybody followed and they understood from the beginning to the end. I remember the Rav for many years said Shirim in Boston. He used to say Amatzoy Shabbos. Sometimes he said on Sunday morning, Amatzoy Shabbos. Most of the time he would say on Chumash. Other times on other things. Sunday morning usually would say on Gemara, some Mesichta or another. So once he told the Balabatim, I remember I was there once in the summertime, so he told the Balabatim that they should announce that he's going to start learning Tehillim on Matzoy Shabbos. I remember one Pashat the Balabos came over to the Rav, so he said, "But Rabbi Soloveitchik, this used to be a Balabos, he used to daven by the Rebbe, by the Boston Rebbe, and he used to say Tehillim all the time." So what does he know what it says in the English translation? So he said, "But Rabbi Soloveitchik, Tehillim is so easy. What are you going to say on Tehillim?" So he said to him, "Don't worry, Mr. So-and-so, I'm going to make it hard already." Because he was kidding. He wasn't going to make it hard. His kunst was that he made the most complicated things. He could take Tumas HaTahoyim. He could take the most complicated Taisus and make it so easy that at the end of the shiur, we were kicking ourselves. Why didn't we realize that from the beginning? That's what it says. That's what it says. Elikten Leverta. That's exactly what I said. That was his style of Chiddush. He wasn't interested in Menachutz. A lot of times a boy would ask him, "Akasha, hi, there's a Taisus and Erevin, etc." So he says, "The Taisa says Fakir, or the Shulchan Aruch says Fakir." So we're not learning Shulchan Aruch. But if it's not, if this Gemara works out, he wants to give the best shot on this Gemara. "Don't bother me about some other Gemara." He could say, "This Kasha doesn't bother me. Zaita Kasha, he wouldn't be interested in it. If it didn't work out, Minei Bey. If the Daf didn't work out, so that's it. If the Hezbollah, the Daf, it wasn't always Gehalten, that's a different thing." He'd always get angry when people would ask him from Zaita Kasha. Not interested in firing all the Mesichtis and Shas. He just wants to know what it seems to say on this Daf Gemara. That was his style of Chiddush HaTorah. That's what he said. He learned from his father how to read in between the lines. There's a famous story that they tell about the Beis HaLevi Rab Chaim. That the Beis HaLevi, when he saw that his son Rab Chaim was in Valosh and he was developing this different derech and learning, this analytic derech, but they used to make fun. Rab Aaron Soloveitchik by the Hesed said that this is printed in Svarim. They used to make fun of Rab Chaim's derech that he's a chemist, that it's chemistry. If you look in the Hagdamah to the Marcheshes was the Dayan and Zilner, Rab Henachegish. He was a Dayan in Vilna. He was there before Rab Chaim Ozen. He was older than Rab Chaim Ozen. He died after. He said, so the Marchesh is learned by the Beis HaLevi. So he writes in his introduction, "I'm from the old Tshuvas." So he writes, "I'm from the old school. I learned by the Beis HaLevi. We don't go for this chemistry. The Alta Derech HaLena." Or Rabbi Zalman writes like that in the Hagdama to one of his volumes of Eben Ezra. Rabbi Zalman learned by Rab Chaim. He learned by Rab Chaim in Valozhin. So he writes in the Hagdamah to one of his volumes that not every Shverer Rambam can one far emfer with the chemical analysis. With the chemical analysis. So they tell over the story that when they showed that Hagdamah to Rav Velvel Soloveitchik, he was then in Eretz Yisrael, they showed it to Rav Velvel and he looked at it. So Rabbi Zalman writes, not every Shverer Rambam can one far emfer with the chemical analysis. So Rav Velvel said, "Erkenish." Erkenish. So this was. So this was what they used to make fun of Rab Chaim. So the Beis HaLevi is, they tell over the story that the Beis HaLevi once made a comment to Rab Chaim, "You know, when somebody comes to me with a kasha, a good gishmak, a kasha, and then I work on it and I come up with a teret," Beis HaLevi had the old style of learning. So he says, after I tell him the teret, so he's happy and I'm happy. He says, he's happy he had a good gishmak akasha, and I'm happy I came up with a gewaldige teretz. So everybody walks away happy. He says, but when they come to you with akasha, and then you give your chemical analysis, and it comes out that the kusha may korelesa, that the kasha was that this gemara says one way, this gemara says the other way. Okay. And it turns out in the end, you misunderstood pshatim, you misunderstood. Everybody walks away with pachi nefesh. The one who asked the kasha didn't have a kasha, there was a close kasha, and the one who gave a teretz didn't give a teretz. It came out, pashup pshat. But that's what it always was by the Rav. The Rav wasn't interested in faremferin kashas. He said he didn't accept upon himself, he's not salaried by the yeshiva to faremfer kashas. His obligation is to tight shop what it says in the gemara. Rav Chaim, when he said the shiurim in Volozhin, the presentation was such a startling style, it was so different from the presentation of the other Rashi yeshiva, that many of the Talmidim took it that he's saying new things, and many of them didn't like the style of Rav Chaim. In fact, Rav Kook, Zohar Baruch, learned in Volozhin, he was there when Rav Chaim and the Netziv were there, so he liked the Netziv style, he didn't like Rav Chaim's style, because he was Mekuriv. If you look in Rav Neiria's Sefer, Rav Neiria wrote quite a few svarim about Rav Kook. So there's one where he writes about different Gedolim who had a hashpoa on Rav Kook, different Rabbonim in Europe. So he writes about Rav Ruvel Denneburger, that Rav Kook was very mushpa from him in learning. So Rav Ruvel didn't like this new style because Rav Ruvel held that everything has to be in the Gemara. You can't come up with new things. And there, a lot of the Talmidim had the impression, based on the presentation of Rav Chaim, that he's coming up with new things. But the truth of the matter is that it's funk fakert. Rav Chaim is everything a gelikt in the verte. Rav Chaim was makbid about that it shouldn't be something benachutz. Everything should be innovating. They tell a famous story about Rav Chaim held Neir Neiroi about Rabitzel Eponavizha. He held that he was the greatest Baal Mechadish of the generation. Rabitzel was a super genius in a generation of many geniuses. He was the biggest genius of all. He was like a Houdini. He could fire him for any kasha. That here it says black and here it says white, he'll give you a teretz. It's exactly the same. He'll tell you why it's not the same. Any kasha. He could get out of any kashas. Mishunidi. So they when they needed a rav in Yerushalayim, so Rav Chaim recommended they should get Rabitzel upon him. Everything was Rabitzel upon him. Great as good. So they tell the story that once Rav Chaim was away from home, Rabitzel came to Brisk and he visited. He stayed overnight. And then he left the next day. So Rav Chaim came home. So he asked Rav Elvela, was still a bacher. So he asked, Rabitzel was here. Knew that you have a chance to talk to him and learning? And he said, yeah. Spoke to him alone. The story is printed. He said, yeah. Spoke to him alone. So he said, well, why so schwach? Such a genius. Weren't you in a spoil from his learning? So he says, no. He said that nothing was mukhra. He spoke from learning. He said, razzle, dazzle, teretz. But there was no mukhra in the Gemara. He said, this Gemara says black, this Gemara says white. So he would give you a teretz. Why? That's talking about Sunday and this is talking about Friday. Or that's Abai and this is Rabbah. He would give a gewaldige teretz, but there was no hechrich in the Gemara. They liked biurim, Rav Chaim, Rav Elvela, Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, and Rav Zuchan Avach. They liked biurim. That everything was mamish in the words of the Gemara. And after you said the pshat, it came out that that's what it said in the words. They weren't interested in introducing new concepts. They wanted to have concepts that appeared with Farish in the Gemara. The Rav, a lot of times in the Shia, used to have an unusual thing. A lot of times he would give the Shia Tuesday, Wednesday. And we used to sit there. Everybody used to sit there because he was Mekayim Vasar State in Gemara. Zorak Mora B'Talmidim. He was like his father. He was a Meiridike captain. He wanted everybody. So no one would ever, we weren't interested in asking him or digging zech with him. So a lot of times the next week he would come in on Tuesday and he would scream at us. How did you let me get away with that Narish type? He would scream at me. How did you let me get away with such stupidity that I said, look, nobody stopped me. They're dead wrong, absolutely wrong. And this would happen a lot of times. Or a lot of times he would come in the next day. And he would back out from everything that he said the day before. He said, that's charat, it's all wrong. And he used to point out, the Gemara has a Rav, the Miuchad Rav used to say in public, Dvarm Shah Ma'ite Lef Nechem Tosein Biyadi. Gemara has been gitten quite a few places. Rav and other Amorim like that. He used to speak about intellectual honesty, that if a person realizes that he makes a mistake, he has to admit in public that he made a mistake. He has to correct it by the Yom. So he told over a very good story from Rav Chaim, that I think must have had a tremendous hashpah on him. He said there was a period of time that there was a machlokes in the yeshiva in Volozhin whether Rav Chaim is right to say shir or not. Because Rav Chaim had married the granddaughter of the Netziv. He married the daughter of Rav Shapiro, who was the son-in-law of the Netziv. So the Bachram in the yeshiva said that the only reason why he got a job is because he married the Rav Shiva's granddaughter, and he's not right to say shir. So they had a din teira. So they had three big rabbonim come to hear Rav Chaim say shir to determine whether he's right or not. I already forgot who they were. I think the Rav said one was Rav Yitzchak Hanan. This must be printed. This part must be printed. Who the Dayanu were. I think one was Rav Yitzchak Honoker. So I said, Rav Chaim, the Rav said, the story goes that Rav Chaim, the yeshiva, was learning Yevamos in Valozhin, and Rav Chaim is saying a shiur in the first parak on the sugya violinist. Daf Yud Aleph, I think, the sugya violinist. He's saying a whole shiur, the Beis Medrash, in front of all the Talmidim, in front of the Rabban. In the middle of the shiur, he realized that there's a Pirush HaMishnayah somewhere that contradicts what he's trying to say pshat in the Rambam. And he stopped for a moment and he thought about it, then he realized it's all abgefrecht, so he apologized to everybody and he said it's all wrong. There's a Pirush HaMishnayah that says like that, and he sat down. That was the end of the shiur. And that was the shiur, and they wouldn't have known the Pirush HaMishnayah. No one else knew. He happened to know a Pirush HaMishnayah, so it was in contradiction to what he wanted to say. So he sat down, so one would have thought that this was the shiur that he's supposed to nemois to determine whether he's right to say shiur. And then he just failed. So the psak of the Bezin was that a man who's so honest that he backs out in public in the middle of the shiur when he realizes that he made a mistake because it's a Pirush HaMishnayah that none of them heard of, he's right to say a shiur in the shiur. So we had the impression, the Rav used to tell over that story ever so often, we had the impression that this must have left quite an impression on the Rav, because he used to do that every so often. He would back out a lot in public, he would sort of shift the blame to us, he would scream at us. Why we didn't scream at him, why we didn't stop him the week before, that was his style, okay. But he would try as much as possible to be honest, to try to be Mevar Lamita Shel Torah. The Rav used to speak in public a lot about this, about details versus klolim. So he said, his lashon used to be that until the days of Rav Chaim, your day used to be pots and pans, full of detail. Rav Chaim made it into klolim. That's what he used to brag about that. He used to say about shtaris also. I remember that yortzeit, the one yortzeit shiur that he said on shtaris, and then the yeshiva also, when he would be metapel on the sugas of shtaris. He said, until the days of Rav Chaim, a shtar was just a piece of paper with ink on it, with words on it. Chaim gave it like a vayipach be'ap of nishmas Chaim. Chaim gave it a nefesh. Chaim made it into a cheftz of a star with a hagodas ashtar, with a tvisas bal ashtar, with a datum chab. Chaim made it into a star. So, what do you mean, Rav Chaim made it? What he meant was Rav Chaim knew how to dig, how to read in between the lines and come up with the klolim. Instead of just having a collection of 100 prate dinim, protim and prate protim. Rav Chaim was always looking for klolim. That's what he was looking for as well. He had a tremendous Masoire in Hanhogis as well. We must have spoken on different occasions. The Mishkanes Yankiv had a big sichsuch with the Raphaim Zalman Margolius about making a Reuven in all the communities in Poland. In Litva they didn't, and in Poland they did. They had in every community. Galicia they had a Reuven all over. In Hungary they had all over. So they had a chilufei mechtovim about this. In the middle of one of the tshuvas, Mishkanes Yankiv writes in the Hagor an interesting historical footnote, that there was a theme that was introduced into the halacha by the Hasidi Ashkenaz, by the Rekeach, and by the Maharam Rutenberg, and by the late Bali Atosfos, to try to be choshish for all the shittas. Instead of, in the days of the earlier Rishonim, whoever was a Democrat was a Democrat, whoever was a Republican was a Republican, you voted the party line, that's all. So the Sfardim followed the shittas of the Sfardim Ashkenaz, and followed the shittas Ashkenaz and Mefartim. And then the Chachmei Ashkenaz, the Hasidi Ashkenaz, he calls them, started this new shita, a new trend, a new mahalach, that in the Mishnah Brura it appears on every page, that if you try to do things to be yotzei, they call a shita. So the Mishnah Brura quotes the Prima Gadim Zaktazayin, the Chavin Moshe Zaktfakir, so the best thing is to do like this and like that, in order to make sure that you yotzei, they call a shita, is hide these kind of kun. So the Rav had such a tradition from his family also, from Rav Chaim and from his father, many different things that they would get. It wasn't a general practice. They would go out of their way to try to do things to be yotzei yidei kol hashitas. I remember, I may have told it over, I remember once in the summertime, we daven mincha on Rosh Chodesh. We daven mincha early. And I remember the Rav's mother was benching. The Rav's mother was still alive now. So she was benching Birchas HaMazon. And then after she benched, it was around 10-15 minutes before the shtir. So we had just washed, just two or three boys, we had just washed, we're going to begin to eat, we're going to eat bread on Rosh Chodesh, we're going to eat a whole meal, and we're going to bench on Matzoy Rosh Chodesh. So she started to scream at us in Yiddish, and she said, Bochum, learn in the yeshiva all their lives, they don't know that it's a machlekes in Shulchan Aruch, if you ate the meal on Purim, or you ate the meal on Rosh Chodesh, and you bench on Matzoy, Purim Matzoy Rosh Chodesh, whether you say Yal HaNisim, or you say Yal HaViyova or not, whether you go Basa HaSkola HaSudeh, you go Basa Sof HaSudeh, and you don't know that you're supposed to avoid a machloikis. you should either bench before, like she was benching 10 minutes before the shkia. You should either finish. grandfather was up Kiret. I remember the Rav told us about when you have two parshas mechuborim, when you have matas masay, when you have two sedris tazria metzora. So it says in the Rishonim that you should give both sedris an equal number of aliyahs, in order not to be mechabit one sedra more than the other. The Vos takes an equal sedra, an equal number of aliyahs. So usually give seven aliyahs. So how do you divide seven and a half? So three and a half. So you give 3.5 aliyahs in the first sedra, 3.5 aliyahs in the second sedra. In other words, Revi is mechaber. You give Revi, begins at the end of the first sedra, and it goes into the second sedra. So each sedra gets 3.5 aliyahs, no one's going to be jealous. An idea from the Rishonim. So the question is, but what if they plan to make Koisofis? Yeah. They're going to give 20 aliyahs, I'm sure. So do you give 10 and 10, because you have to give even Stephen? Or do you say, no, the rest of the Koisofis don't count. The main thing is design kruim. They should be equal with design kruim. So Revi should always be mechaber, and then you make all the Hoysophis in the second sedra. So this is a machlokes and poskim. So most of the minhag olam is, most of the poskim hold, that it only the only thing that counts are the zayin kruim. But because the levush holds not so, the levush holds that you have to chesh, the gabbai has to chesh in advance how many Hoysophis he's going to make. And then he has to give seven aliyahs in the first, seven aliyahs in the second, whatever. So that's why his father used to insist that you should never make any Hoysophis when you have mechubarim, because of this machlokes. No, I'm not getting involved in machlokes. Kohena v'chohena v'chohena. So many different things the Rav Chaim introduced. So the Rav also used to introduce a lot of things. You know, just before the summer, the rabbinic alumni puts out a newsletter that's called Chavrusa in the yeshiva. So Rabbi Rybak is the editor. Rabbi Rybak from New Jersey is the editor. So he asked me to write up different hanhogas from the Rav and Rosh Hashanah. So I wrote a whole bunch of things. But I remember I used to go daven Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur for a few years in Boston. So then I said, but have somebody from the family check it over, make sure that there are no mistakes. So they checked it over, and they told me that I made one mistake on one thing. It was an outright mistake. I wrote that the Rav's practice was that he used to blow a funny tkiya shofar. Instead of blowing like all normal Jews blow, he blowed three shvarim, two, two, two. So the Rav used to blow five very short shvarim. Two, 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 five very short. What's that is? Because there's a machlekes and teisvis. How much is a trua? Well, the trua is 3, 2, 2, 2, or 9, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2. Rashi says 3, and Taisa disagrees that it's 9. So Taisa says that according to Rashi that it's 3 true meekins, so you have to be careful not to make a shvarim too long, because you're going to make a shvarim that's going to be tuhu, tuhu, tuhu. That's going to be tekiya, tekiya, tekiya. That's not a shvarim, that's a tekiya. So Taisa says you got to be careful. So in order to avoid this machlekes, Rashi and Taisa, in order not to get involved in it, so Rab Chaim had this practice that you blow five short shvarims. Each one is very, very short. So none of them, why do you blow five? In order to make sure to satisfy the other opinion, that you're supposed to have three longer shvarims, and the shvarims are supposed to add up to at least 9 shumikin, so you're just going to have three very short ones, and it'll be less than 9. So you should make 5 very short. Fine. So I wrote in my essay that the Rav used to follow the practice of Rav Chaim to blow five very short shvarims instead of three regular size shvarims. So they corrected this, and they told me that that's an error, that's not what happened. The Rav, as a little child, his father was learning within the Tesis in the end, before his Bar Mitzvah. His father was learning within the Tesis in the end of Rosh Hashanah, with the 3, with the 9, with the Shvarim, it's going to be a Tki, and the whole Chajadiyah. So the Rav, as a child, asked, Daddy, why don't we solve the problem and make 5 short Shvarims instead of 3 long Shvarim? So he said, that's an Einfall, he's going to ask the Zayda. So he sent a letter to Rav Chaim. So Rav Chaim was Mekabel the Eitzah. It's not that the Rav followed Rav Chaim's suggestion. Rav Chaim followed the Rav's suggestion as a little boy. Now this is written up all over. They all quote Rav Chaim's. Nobody ever writes where it came from. The Rav had Koheino v'Koheino v'Koheino, so many other things with the 10th Pasuk in the Zechronis and the Shofers, Ashayla and Rishonim, whether the 10th Pasuk should be in the Lakeinu Kevusenu, and the Chasimot should be after the 9th Pesukim. So the Rav says to say it twice. What do you have to lose? Say it twice. So many different Eitzes or about Hadlokas Neres Chanukah, and many must have heard from the Rav about when do you say the Bracha Shosa Nisim, Laviseinu. Do you say the Netziv shows that it's a Machlekes HaPoskim, but do you say the Bracha Oivelas Yasin like the Ramos says, or not so, the Masechah Sefer says that you say it's a Birchas HaRoya, you should say it after the Hadlokas. So the Rav had a whole Chachma from his father, how to avoid the Machlekes, what to do, so many different Eitzes like that. He didn't invent this style on his own, this was the tradition that they had. They had from Rab Chaim, from Beis HaLevi. He was also known as a Psalm, Meshuna Diga Machma, Tzvah de Biyotzi de Kol HaShitas. These were the attitudes that were transmitted to the Rav from his Rabbein. And he felt an obligation to transmit these to his Talmid. And he had a very clear Masorin Hashkafa as well. It's very interesting. There's a certain conservative rabbi wrote a critique of the Rav has different essays that were printed in English on Jewish thought. So a certain conservative rabbi wrote a critique of the Rav. So he said, what are they? How can I chain it? This is the modern Orthodox thinker. What kind of modern Orthodox thinker? It's just a bunch of words that he has there. He doesn't have anything in his writings that his grandfather Reb Chaim would have been embarrassed to say. He just presents it in such a fancy philosophical terminology that he fools you into believing that he's saying something new, but it's the same old Orthodox party line that it always was. Nothing changed. About that, so a lot of times, like the Rav had to switch to say the Shir in English because the Talmidim didn't understand Yiddish. Or even when he used to say the Shir in Yiddish, he saw that he has to present a different. He didn't say the same style Shir that his father said. He said a different style because he saw that the Dor needs a different style in Yiddish also. They need a different. So sometimes you have no brayer, even though there is Taka Din Chayvonam Lama Balash and Rabbi, you have to transmit the Masorah word for word. But sometimes you have no brayer. So when he used to say the Shir in Yiddish, he used to give his presentation. And then the Ika and the Kuda, he used to repeat over in his father's language. He would say certain terminology that really didn't fit in with the rest of the language of the Shir. That would be the Ika and the Kuda would always be some very brisker terminology. But the rest would not be brisker terminology. So the same is true in Hashkafer. I always had the feeling that the Rav was saying over traditional Hashkafer, traditional Machshava that he had the Kabbalah from his Rebbe. There are, of course, certain obvious situations where the Rav felt that we live in different times. As I mentioned before, the Marshal, fasting on the Taneis. So Reb Chaim had gesagt that everybody has a status of a Chodesh Shem Sakana, so we should all eat. So the Rav felt, I don't have a status of a Chodesh Shem. What do you mean? Reb Chaim is going to tell me? Reb Chaim passed away already. How is he telling me? I live in America. How can you tell him, how can someone tell me long distance, 50 years before that I'm a Chodesh Shem Sakana? So he felt, he live in a different country, live in a different condition. Nishka Chodesh Shem Sakana. Well, I remember they once asked the Rav, I remember Sholem Pechenik once asked the Rav that Rab Chaim and the Netziv closed down the Balozhin Yeshiva over the issue of secular studies. So how come we study here in Yeshiva University and it's full of secular studies? So the Rav just said a half sentence and says, times are different. That was, he said, times are different. He said, it's not chaylik and Rab Chaim and the Netziv. At that time, they felt they had to close the Yeshiva, and this time is a different time. Well, the Moshe, the Rav used to be a big member of the Aguda. That's in fact why he lost the position for the Rabbanus when he was interested in the position of the Rabbanus in Tel Aviv. So even though there were people who were pushing for him, and even though Rab Chaim Moshe sent a letter, the letter is printed in the Ikkovet Zigris Chazanish. The Rab Chaim Moshe sent a letter to the Chazanish that year that he should support the Rav's candidacy, but he doesn't stand a good chance of getting the job because he's known as an Aguda. He's not known because the whole family is all of Eichik. We're all Aguda. And in Eretz Yisrael, they weren't interested in giving any Aguda Rabbanim positions there. Never. Kachavi, that's what happened. That his uncle, Rav Meir Bar Ilan, is the one who nixed it. He said, well, over my dead body, we're not going to allow any Aguda Rabbanim to become Rabbanim in Eretz Yisrael. That's a Dovah Yadua like that. So after a while, the Rav felt that the Aguda position regarding Eretz Yisrael, Medina Yisrael, was not correct. So he switched over to Mizrahi. He held the whole Drasha at that time, which he wrote up, which is printed in the book, the few Drashas in the Hebrew and the Hamesh Drashas. The four Drashas became five Drashas. They gave birth, yeah. So he explained why he felt that it's not that it's Chodesh Kana Zrabeim felt that was at that time, and in this time is a different story. And this time he felt that the Aguda held an incorrect position. V'chayinu, l'mashal, about shaving a chalamoy. So if Ashtetzach is a din, and the Gemara is not allowed to shave a chalamoy, but the Rav said, b'zman hazeh, that everybody shaves every day, so everybody comes into shul on Leil Yontif, and everybody sees that they're clean shaven. And then over the first two days Yontif, so you grow vita, the beard grows. And everybody knows why you didn't shave on Erev Yontif, because you couldn't shave the hair that didn't grow yet. So that's what the Gemara would call an Oynes Demuchach. So the Mishnah says, whenever there's an Oynes Demuchach, whenever the person was just released from the hospital in the middle of Chalamot, the person just came back, he was on a boat for 2 months, and he just came back, Habom Medina Sayam. He was just Yetzim Beis HaShivya. They had him in prison, in a dungeon. And the Romans just released him from prison on Chalamot. So the Mishnah says, he's allowed to take a haircut and a shave on Chalamot. Why? So the Gemara says he wasn't able to take before Yontif. It's an Oynes, and it's an Oynes Demuchach that everybody knows what it is. So there's no chashash of a loyplug. People will wonder, why is he shaving and he can't shave? Everybody knows. He just got out of the hospital. Everybody knows. He just landed. He was away for 2 months. Everybody knows they just released him from prison. So the Rav says, no, everybody knows that you couldn't shave the hair that didn't grow yet. So he said, it's not chaylik on the earlier generation. The earlier generation was takosah to shave a chalamoy. But today, if everybody shaves every day, kesed, and everybody understands. So that's the Oynes Demuchach. Shaving in the middle of spheres. So he used to explain He's not choylik on the earlier generation. He's not changing the minhogim. He said avad in the minhog is that in sfira in the 3 weeks, you're not allowed to take a haircut, you're not allowed to trim your beard, you're not allowed to shave. But he said every minhog has to make sense. This he got from the Biuri HaGro. The Biuri HaGro in Shulchan Aruch, whenever the Ramah quotes a minhog, so the Biuri HaGro tries to explain what the minhog is based on. Glata minhog to stand on your head on Wednesday afternoon between 3 and 4 o'clock, that's not binding, that's drawn potato. A minhog has to be with some kind of a mahal. So if you have a minhog to observe Avelis during Sfira, or during the 3 weeks up until Rosh Chodesh Av, so it says the minhog is that you don't have Nisun in Tisparsa. What does that correspond to? So the Rabbi used to explain that there are three levels of Avelis, the Shiva, the Shloshim, and the Yud Beis Chodesh. And this corresponds to Yud Beis Chodesh. That's it. This corresponds to Yud Beis Chodesh. But he said in Yud Beis Chodesh Gufa the din is that if a person needs a haircut so badly that he looks awful, Achigar Buchaveiro, so then Halacha says that he's allowed to take a haircut, he's allowed to shave. So the Paskim talk about it. What if a person shaves there every day? So how long does he have to wait that it should be considered Yar B'chaver? So the Ma'am Shik and the others say, 3 days, 5 days, 7 days. After a few days, it's called Yar B'chaver. So that's what Rav Soloveitchik said. It's not that he's Choylek, it's not that he's Mishana de Minhogim. He said if you live in, under different circumstances, so it's a different Shaila. It's a different Shaila, so it's a different Psaq. So you can't just carry over all the Dinim and think that everything's going to be the same. I don't think it's correct to say that the Rav is not modern, everything was, what was modern? The world is modern. We live in a modern world. The Rav is not a modern person. The Rav was taking the Halacha and trying to see, have situations changed so much that it's a different Shaila, and therefore the Psak is different or no? Or the Psak is the same. Even though the situation is slightly different, the Din is still the same or no? The situation is so much different that it's a different Din. You have to apply a different Sif in Shulchan Aruch. These are all Sifim in Shulchan Aruch. That's, Ramosha's Chuvus is always like that. Adirabba. I think people totally misunderstand. The Rav was such a dramatic speaker, so they always thought that he was saying startling things. And Ramosha was such a stiller yid, he used to always go like this, and I was like, still, and everything. It wasn't so dramatic. So people think, oh, Ramosha was very traditional, and the Rav is very non-traditional. If you look in Ramosha's Svarim, just a hater. Ramosha has Shailas with Chuvus, he comes up with, Imamish, he invents new things. He has a Shailas, comes up with a new idea that you never find anywhere. No mocker in the Gemara. He says, Anegin is Svar, and he paskins la halacha based on his Svar. The Rav would never do that. Paskin based on Anegin is Svar. The Rav used to be very dramatic in presentation, but the tochen that he said was alta zachin. He was saying over what it says in the Gemara, except that he said it in such a clear fashion that he would shock you out of your wits, and he would shake you up. But he wasn't saying anything new. He didn't say, fakat. He wasn't such a machadish in this sense. He was machadish in the sense of Rav Chaim Volozhiner. That the chiddush means when you mevare poshe pshat, when the pshat becomes so clear and so obvious. I never thought that the Rav is saying anything different from the tradition that he had. There's a famous comment that the Bali Musa point out. The Achreinim have this. The Gemara in the end of the second parak in Sukkah tells about Rav Leizer HaGadol, Rav Leizer ben Hyrcanus. That they asked him certain shaylas and he didn't answer. Then they asked him again, he didn't answer. Then they said, what's the matter? What's the answer? He walked away in the sukkah, what's the din? So he says, I have to tell you a secret that I have a policy. I picked up certain hanhogas from my Rebbe, learned by Rabbi Yechman Zaka. He has a policy. He never says, he's never oimadov shalashama mipi rabbi. He only says ever we heard from his Rebbe. He never says anything that he never heard from his Rebbe. Even if he has a clear idea of what the din should be, he's not going to say something shalashama mipi rabbi. That's what it says in the Gemara. Then there's a Pirkei de Rav Leizer, which has a lot about Rav Leizer HaGadol, Rav Leizer ben Hyrcanus. But the Pirkei de Rav Leizer says that when Rav Leizer used to say a shir to the Talmidim in Halacha, he used to say, Divrei Torah Shalai Shamasan Oizen Misinai. He said such original things that no one had ever heard since the days of Matan Torah. So they all asked, Achrenim all asked, Achanabiyus Tirah. Here the Gemara says that he was so medaktik, he wouldn't answer a simple question. Rebbe, what to do? No, Asra Mutta. He wouldn't say because he didn't hear from his Rebbe. And there it says, he used to say, Keseder, Dvarim Shalai Shamasan Oizen Misinai. So the Mefarshim, the Bali Musa say over, and Achrenim have like this. They say there's no stira. He was very careful only to say Masha Shama Me Rabba, but he paid such attention to his Rebbe, Rabbi Yechman Zaki. He heard much more than the others did. He would take what the Rebbe said and break it down to its component parts. That's what the Rebbe always did. You have a Machlokes Abai Rabbi, you have a Machlokes Ameir Rabbi. So the Rebbe would explain, well, if they have a Machlokes about this, like we said, you can see that they agree on 25 things. It doesn't say that in the Gemara, but it's obvious. That's the inference. If they have a machlokes about this, you see that these 25 things, they agree. And then by understanding what they agree, you'll understand what they disagree. They're disagreeing about a certain definition of a certain fine point over here, over there. So he's not saying dvarim luchudoshim. He's just spelling out what it says in the Gemara. Like Rav Leizer had halacha, and he had hashkofe, and he had all the things from his rabbeim. But he heard it much better than the others. So he would take one vort, Rav Leizer would take one vort that he heard from his Rebbeim, from Rav Yechaman Zakkai, and he would break it down to all of its component parts. That's what the Rav would do on all of his drushes when he said Hashkafe, and all of his shurim when he said Halacha. He would just take Halacha and break it down to its many component parts, and that was his Chiddush. But it wasn't really original that he's inventing new things. I think it's a big misunderstanding that people make such a contrast between, I think Rav Moshe was much, in this sense, very different. I don't mean to be derogatory to either. I'm just saying Rav Moshe was very original, came up with new ideas. Literally, Dvarim Shalosh Amos Noiz Misina. Come up with new things, and it wasn't that he's teaching for teaching in the Gemara for teaching. Kach Nir Lefina is died. He comes up with a new idea, and he thinks that that's Taloch, and he has no mocker. He thinks that this is the din. Kaleas Kakash, and they say the Teretz must be like this, and the Kenzach Zer Shtag Dingen, because he doesn't have a mocker. And the Rav would never do that. The Rav is much more traditional, much more classical. A lot of times it looked like he was not traditional because he would size up a situation and say that there are two sifim in the Shulchan Aruch. People think that Sif Gimel belongs over here, no, Sif Dalet belongs. Because times are different and circumstances are different, situation is different. So therefore it belongs under Sif Dalet, doesn't belong under Sif Gimel. He's not inventing a new category. Sif Gimel and Sif Dalet are both there in Shulchan Aruch. He's just sizing up the situation differently from many other people. Like the issue with the shaving of Chalamada, the issue of shaving in the Svira. Everything is there in the Shulchan Aruch. He holds that you have to apply a different sif. The Rav used to feel that it, in a certain sense, it wasn't right that many Rosh Yeshiva would only say Shiurim on those chosen seven or eight Masechtos. Would only say on Gitni Kedushin, Ksuvus and Yivamis, Bava Kama, Bava Metzia, Bava Basra, and some of that on Adorim throw in. He had the tradition from Balozhin. Balozhin, they said Shiurim Kiseder from the beginning to the end. They used to say Shiurim in Yeshiva, not only Maria, not only for the Balabat, he said in Yeshiva, on Brochis, he said on Shabbos more than once, he said on Nida Mikvois. Rav Mendel Zaksuch and Rav had tainus, why he learns Nida with single boys. I remember I was a little boy, I was single, I never had. I don't remember having Hehurim when the Rav was learning Nida. It was just Lebedik, like Kiddushin, like Gittin, like Brachas, like everything else, it was Lebedik. Rav Mendel, they said, had tainus, why the Rav said Shurim once on Moit Kot Neilu Megalchen. Because the Chassam Sofer writes that the minig was that you don't give a shir on Neilu Megalchen, it's in Yonim Avayavayas. When someone even asked me, he learns in the Daf Yoyim, we want to know, are they allowed to give a shir on Neilu Megalchen? Shad, are they allowed to give a shir on Neilu Megalchen? Valojan and Yeshiva, they gave the Netziv, has the printed Shurim, Kiseida. They gave Shurim on Brochus, Shabbos, Erevin, Psochem, he gave Shurim on everything. So that's what Rav Soloveitcher used to give on everything. Certain things he just couldn't get to Talmidim. He's not going to give on Kotshim, he's not going to give on Taris. But there were times that he get when he had his Kailul in Boston, he said Shurim on Kailul. He said Shurim on Kailul. He wanted to transmit everything that he had. And he wanted to try, and even what he didn't have in tradition, he wanted to fill in the missing gaps in the picture, like we mentioned before, like a Sneel Ben Knaz was Machzut Bil Pilpula, based on the 90% that he had. He wanted to figure out the 10%, so the Rav had this tremendous challenge. He felt that that he wanted to figure out everything, and he wanted to transmit everything that he possibly could to his students. He felt that that was his obligation, to transmit everything to the Talmud. He used to say long shiurim, many, many shiurim, and long shiurim, long hours. The Gemara has a comment in the end of Sanhedrin on the Pasuk in Iyov, Odom la'omol yulod, that man was created to work very hard. So the Gemara says, what does it mean? So the Gemara proves that it doesn't mean la'mal malach, it means la'mal peh, that he should talk. And then the Gemara says, what do you mean la'mal peh? What's sicha b'teilos? The Gemara says, no, la'mal peh, to talk and learning. That's tachlis odom ha'ilomah, to talk a lot and learn. So the Rabbi used to kuli al malach pligi. He was Odom la'omol yulod, he was yotzei that chiv la'mal. But at the same time, it's also Yetzir the Chiv that the Gemara has in the first parak from Sochem. The Gemara says, "Le'ol mishana adam le'talmidoi derech tzora." The Gemara says, when the Rebbe teaches the Talmidim, he should give it b'kitzer. How can you do b'kitzer bariches? He would give a whole hagdama. He would give all the hagdamas, but then the punchline would always be in a very one word, very precise, very concise, very very brief. It's a din in the cheftz. It's a din in the gavre. It's a din in the meloy. It's a din in the chaloshem, and it's this. He would, the Hagdamas would be Barichas and Baharchava with Mishalim and everything, but then the punchline would be Bikitz and Nimrats. It's like the Deis HaLevi has a tshuva. Deis HaLevi has a tshuva about when you have a din of Kinui Estira, when the husband is Mekane Leishto, is Choshe that she's being Mizana, and then Nistero. So the Gemara says you have to have two Eidim for the Kinui, two Eidim for the Estira. So the Deis HaLevi has a whole Shalal Alocha whether the Edom for the Kina is Edis Lekimadov or Edis Lebidov. So the Beis Halevi doesn't have that terminology. Edis Lekimadov, Edis Lebidov, that's Rab Chaim is the first one has, the Beis Halevi's son. Beis Halevi has to spend three lines in the Tshuva to describe Edis Lekimadov, then three lines to discuss Edis Lebiradov. And every time he talks about it, he has to fetch three lines and three lines. So that's where Rab Chaim sharpened that. He made terminology more concise. That's what the Gemara says. You have to be Yishalon Mutamida, Derech Tzora, to try to give the punchline, the kitz and nimrod, so the message will be conveyed sharper. It's like interesting, that tshuva, a lot of tshuvas in the Beis HaLevi, that tshuva is interesting, goes to simonim, then in the last paragraph, in the second simon, he gives a comment. You don't know exactly what he's talking about, so the Rav gave the whole background of the tshuva. I think he said that it was Rav Elazar Moshe Hurwitz, if I'm not mistaken, told his wife that there's a certain meshulach that he doesn't like, personally dislikes him, and his husband had to go away, out of town or something. So he told his wife, I had to go on business, I had to take care of something in the community. So he said, if the Meshulach comes to the house, don't let him in. I don't like him, don't let him in. So punkt, when Rabbi Elazar Moshe was away, that Meshulach came to the door. So his wife was embarrassed to say she's not going to let him in. So she let him in, she gave him tea and cake, whatever. He stayed for a while, then he left. Finally, there wasn't a Issa Yichud, it was Baila Bia, whatever. There was some reason why there wasn't a Issa Yichud. So when Rabbi Elazar Moshe came home, he had a Shaila. There's the Kinu Yastira. He told his wife, don't let the Meshulach in. And then she went and she let him in. So he sent a shadow to the Beis HaLevi, what's the din? So, what's the din? Because the Gemara says that the Kinu has to be in Bifnei Shnei Edim. So the Beis HaLevi has a whole tshuva. Is the requirement for Kinu Bifnei Shnei Edim, is that Lekiyam Adover? Like if you're Mekadosh and Nisha, then no Edim is not Chal, even though you know and she knows you're Mekadosh, just not Chal. So should I say over here also, Kinu, by definition, has to be in the presence of Tuedim. No Tuedim, the Kinu is gone. Or should you say, no, it's only Lebir Adover? When you want to come to be mashker in the Beis HaMikdash, you have to be able to prove it with based on two kashrutim. But if he knows and she knows, they both know, they both admit that he's mekanigos. And then, yeah, shavim lav shechatichet yisur, then it should be awesome. So that's the tilpul that the Beis HaLevi has. Then in the last, has two simonim, along arichas, has a Yerushalmi with a hagor, along arichas. Then at the last paragraph, in the second tshuva, on the topic, he says, but does it als geret givorin if the husband was choshed his wife is nus? But if he just said, don't let the man in the house because I don't like him, he doesn't spell that, it just says, if he's not choshed biznus, then there's no din of kinui. That was the tshuva. He doesn't write who the tshuva was, he doesn't write any of it. Most of the tshuvas are not tshuvas, most of them are just topulim. But even though there are tshuvas, halacha maisa, he doesn't write who it's to. So you don't know what the background is. A lot of times the rabbi used to tell the background, is to give the historical background of the different chidushim, or the different tshuvas. So this helped the Talmidim remember it more, if you know the story. So you remember the chidush, the shtikol Torah more. There's a famous piece that Rav Elvel of Soloveitchik has in the sefer about Arba Kaisis. On Shas and Chai, Shas and Vasachas, a lot of boys used to say for Bar Mitzvah Pshetla. About Arba Kaisis, there are two kiyumim, there's one din of drinking Arba Kaisis, the Laharis, Kilo Hoyatim Mitzrayim, Cheris, and then there's another mitzvah, Brocha Lakos, with an Afkamina for Chamar Medina, whole tulpa. So the Rav told over the background of that shtikl Torah. He said there was a while that all of the Jews ran away from Brisk. There was some kind of trouble, I think, in the middle of the First World War or something. So Kemat, all the Jews ran away. And his uncle, Rav Elvele, ran away to Chaslavich, where his father was, where Rav Moshe Soloveitchik was a Rav. And before Pesach, there just wasn't enough wine for all of the people to have Arba Kaisis for everybody. So there was just barely enough that in every household, one person should have Arba Kaisis. So they said, no, Taisus Shita is in the first half in Arba Pesach, and that's all you need. That you don't have to have every single person should drink Arba Kaisis. Taisus says, like Kiddush and Abdallah. That one person says, Kiddush Allah Yain, and everybody's Yaitzeh. You don't have to have that every person should drink his own course. And we're machma not so, we're machma like the Rambam, that there are two dinam over here. So they said, Balais Breru will have to follow Taisus. But then they raised the Shaila. They couldn't afford to have wine. They couldn't afford. It just wasn't peninsula. It wasn't possible. But they can make Chamar Medina for everybody else. Would anything be gained? And the Rambam says, whenever you don't have wine, so you can use Chamar Medina. So the Shaila was, would anything be gained if you would have the father of the household, or one member of the household will say, Abrikosis on wine, and all the others will have Chamar Medina? We'll have something else that's a pleasant tasting drink. So that's Rav Elvele has in his sefer. The Rav said, the Rav used to make fun. What is it, Rav Elvele Shtikl Terry? He says, that was my father's. They worked it, he remembers as a child. They worked it out together. His father was older, much older. His father had Shtikl Terry written on Kachin before Rav Elvele was even learning Kachin. That's why he felt a little fakrivdit. He felt a little hurt. He used to make fun sometimes about the people who learned by Rav Elvele, who learned by Rav Elvele's son, Rav Yosheber. So he used to say, yeah, I heard this from my father, Kodematan Torah. He heard the Ankotcha. He heard it before Avelvela was saying. It's quite a matter he heard this. He thought that the cheating is not b'shem umra. He said his father said all of these things. In fact, the Rav's son, Chaim Soloveitchik, he should be well printed. 2 years ago, he printed a notebook of Rav Moshe Soloveitchik. Now he printed another sefer. So he said that the sefer that he printed 2 years ago from Rav Moshe's notebook, Moshe Soloveitchik's notebook, they had to leave out something like 40% of the notebook because it's all Yodua b'shem Rav Elvela. And he says, this notebook was written when Rav Elvela was a little boy. Rav Elvela didn't even learn these Gemaras yet. But he says the people would just not believe it. What he's gonna, the people are gonna say that he got it from Rav Elvela and he put it in his grandfather's notebook. So they had to leave it out. So this shtickle that Rav Elvela has printed in his sefer, Rav Elvela didn't got it. He worked out with Rav Moshe Soloveitchik together. So this famous shtickle, so in the last paragraph in that sefer, in that shtickle he writes, and what the Ramah says that if you don't have wine, you use Chamar Medina. If you use Chamar Medina, you'll only fulfill the mitzvah Broch al Hakos. But you won't fulfill the mitzvah of Cheres. There's only Cheres if you drink wine. So if one person, one member of the household is making on wine anyway, and you want to know, is there any Revach to have everybody else have Chamar Medina? No. You're not gaining anything because the Broch al Hakos you're having anyway by one person. If it have everybody would have wine, that each one would have the mitzvah of cheres. But it's not. Rav Elvela doesn't explain what the background is, what prompted him. Why does he write that in the middle of nowhere? So the Rav told over the whole historical background. The Rav used to tell a lot of these stories about other shadows of tshuvas, not only from the family, even from others not from the family, others from that we never heard of. He used to tell us over. And this masorah of stories was all part of his masorah that he wanted to present and preserve and transmit to the next generation. All of this, this whole heritage that he had. The Rav used to be very makbid also about minhagim. He used to say many times, it says in the Paschim, that minhag Yisrael Torah he. So he used to take it, not that minhag Yisrael is binding, no, minhag Yisrael Torah, just like there's a mitzvah to try to understand the Torah. So he would try to matazich to understand the minhagim. Very many hasberim he gave that the Paschim don't give. There are a lot of minhagim that the Paschim just don't talk about. He used to give on different occasions, different hasberim. I remember he gave a whole shtikel Torah, why the minig is that the chassan says Torah by the chassanah. Why there's a minig that by the yoifru, he would say advat Torah on Shabbos, or by yas the minig is that says by the chassan, he said the chassan is mechuyev in simcha, and simcha means not only that he should be sameach, he should be misameach others, and the way to be misameach others by saying the Torah. He gave makaris with this, all makaris and din. I remember he gave a shir, one of the latest shirim, Aseres Meitshuva, he gave an explanation, why is the meaning that you wear a talis all day Yom Kippur by Yom HaBalayla? So he gave a whole husband, he said, over the Meiri has it, but no one was aware of that Meiri. The Meiri in Shabbos has, that usually on Shabbos there's a mitzvah, Shabbos Yom Tov's mitzvah kibud v'yoinig. And on Yom Kippur it's not shach to observe v'yoinig, because achil ishti is us and tash shamita is us. So what kind of v'yoinig can you have? So that's why the Gemara says that you have to have twice as much kibud as you would normally have. So what is kibbutz? So the Gemara says, Rebechen Karel Amani Mechabdusa. You should have fancy abigodim, that's the kibbutz. He says, on Yom Kippur, when you don't have any yoinig. So he showed the Miri, says that. That's why, Yom HaMechubad, L'kdosh Hashem Mechubad, Zul Yom HaKippurim. What does it mean, Zul Yom HaKippurim? Because since you can't have yoinig, so you try to have more kibbutz. So what do you do in the area of Karel Amani Mechabdusa? You should have special malbushim, special abigodim. So many people only wear a kittel on Yom Kippur, they don't wear a Rosh Hashanah. And even those aware, the Paschim has different organs, even those aware of Kittel, even on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, both days, but they don't wear a talis all day on Rosh Hashanah. And on Yom Kippur, the meaning is you wear a talis by Lai Lubayom. So he explained that that's the reason why, because that's the kiyum of the special kibbut. Or he explained, why do you have a Hataras Nidorim on an Erev Yom Kippur right before a whole Hezbollah? Beautiful. He gave so many Hezbollah and Hagim. We spoke about the why when you call up the Chasim Torah, you say, Amod, 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 why do you say three times a head based on a Gemara? So many minhagim. If you read the journal Masoira, or the people who are writing other things from the Rav, every 30 pages there's always something, at least. Every 30 pages there's always something of a Hezber. I think in the first issue of Masoira, one of the Talmidim wrote up, the Rav gave a Hezber in the minig that we stand when they lay Naseres Adibras. All your long people don't stand during Kriyas HaTorah, Naseres Adibras. So the Rambam is so opposed to this. Rambam says that it's going to lead to apikursis because we don't believe Naseres Adibras is any more important. So how can it be that we have such a meaning that the Rambam Matazegitum? So the Rav explained why it's not in steer, that in the days of the Rambam they lained with the Tama Tachtan, we lain in Tama Elyon, and it's different, it's Tali Zebezeh, because we're reenacting Maimon HaSinai. Kohena v'Kohena, he explained the different minhagim we spoke on many occasions. When you bench Mezumin v'Asara, so from many communities in Europe, had a meaning that they would stand up. Baruch HaLakeinu Shechan Mishloi, they would stand up. And he says, in Litta they never stood up. So what does it depend on? So he gave a whole Hezba Machlekes and Rishainim. Whether it constitutes a Din Davish Bigdusha or not. Davish Bigdusha needs Amida. So when you bench Basara, the Gemara says, in Megillah, a whole Mishnah, all the things that need a minion, so some of them are because of Davish Bigdusha, some of them are not Davish Bigdusha. So he showed, so Mefurish and Machlekes and Rishainim, whether bench Mizum Basara constitutes a Davish Bigdusha or not. So many minhag. He felt that every minig you have to try to understand what the minig is based on. Every minig we assume probably has some tremendous mark. And he tried to convey all of these sentiments and all of these feelings and all these attitudes to his talmid. He always used to complain, he used to bemoan the fact that he feels that he didn't really succeed in transmitting. He says he used to, usually in Aseres Yemei Tshuva, in the Tshuva Drash, he would always give a krechts and moan and say, he feels that he succeeded very well in transmitting the halacha, the shiurim and halacha to the talmidim, but he doesn't feel that he succeeded in transmitting attitudes and feelings and sentiments to the talmidim. These kind of things, that's why he used to tell all these stories and try to explain all the menhagim and everything. He had a tremendous, tremendous package of a masaira that he tried to transmit in its entirety, and he succeeded better than most people did. I remember on one occasion, many years ago, over 25 years ago, one of the rabbeim in the yeshiva passed away. So one of the musmachim, I was there at the Levi, so one of the musmachim walked over, was close with Rav Soloveitchik, so he walked over to the Rav, so he said, he thinks that he should rip Kriya, because there's a din that Rabbi Muvik, you have to rip Kriya. And this Rebbe who passed away happened to be, from the years that he learned in yeshiva, he learned more from this Rebbe than any other Rebbe. So Rav Soloveitchik told this musmach from the yeshiva, that's very nice that you consider him your Rabbi Muvik, but would he have considered you his Talmud Muvik? So this rabbi over the years, over the last 25 years, tells over this vitz that the Rav said that you don't have to rip Kriya, because even though I considered him my Rabbi Muvik, but he would probably certainly not consider me, for sure not, he wouldn't consider him his Talmud Muvik. But there is no such condition. It's not always gehalten. What is he talking about? So I think what the Rav meant was like this. It says in the Rishonim already say, the Balei HaTosfos already say, that what's the definition of Rabbi Muvik? So the Gemara says, Rabbi Muvik is Rav Chachmasa Hemeno. What do you mean Rav Chachmasa Hemeno? So this is Nicha Bizman HaTalmud, Bizman HaMishneh, Koidim Kanoim, when the Torah Shebal Peh was transmitted Bal Peh. So Shachtav Rav Chachmasa Hemeno. Oh, but Bizman HaZeh, Rav Chachmasa from Svarim. You read this from how much do you hear already from the Rebbe? See, Rebbe gives you an enlightenment over here, an enlightenment over there. How can you say Rav Chachmasa Hemeno? So that's why in the Rishonim already, the Balei HaTosfos say that Bizman HaZeh, the Svarim are the Rabbi Muvik. They say Amelitza. That's what the Prima Gordon quotes that. That there's a din, you're not allowed to be Mara Halacha Bifnei Rabbi. So the Prima Gordon says, you're not allowed to pass him without looking in vain. Because the Svarim are the Rebbe. That's what Rav Soloveitchik, I remember Rav Soloveitchik used to say that. I remember hearing it at least twice in the Shir. In the Shir he said it. That when the Rabbanim get telephone calls and they call, I remember in the Sanhedrin Shir, and once in a public drosh on a Chag HaSmicha occasion. So he said, when someone calls you up with a shayla on the telephone, you're not allowed to paskin right away. He said, first of all, it says, have a mesunim madin, the first mission in Pirkei Avos. So he said, what kind of mesunim madin? You paskin on the telephone. He says, you have to tell the Baal HaBos, I'll have to look up the din and I'll call you back. Even if you know the din, he says, you have to tell him, that's a kiyum and have a mesunim madin. And then he said, number two, you have to look it up in a veini, because the Pischei Tshuva quotes the Prima Gordon. Prima Gordon writes it, and Aragas Sisavahetta. That the Svarim have the din of Rabbi Muvik, and it's a Mara Halacha b'fnei Rabbi, if you pass him without looking in a vein. So he says you have to look in a vein. So Leoylam, there is a problem. Bizman HaZeh, is there a din of Rabbi Muvik? How can you say Rab Chachmas Amen? So the Rab probably meant like this. The Rabbeim and Yeshiva gave Shiur. So which one of their Talmidim, just because, let's say, the student learned by this Rabbi 1 year, that Rabbi 1 year, and this Rabbi learned 2 years. 3 years. So that's called Rab Chachmas Amen? No! Rav Chachmasa, he learned so much before and he learned so much after. So the majority of the Torah that he learned from the Svarim, he didn't learn so much from the Rebbe. If he's the Talmud Muvik of that Rebbe, what does it mean? That Rebbe had a tremendous hashpah on him, like the Rav said, when a person learns Torah, so he develops a whole new Torah personality. So whoever is responsible for bringing about that new, if there's one person who's Rav Chachmasa, that he was the one who is mainly responsible for formulating this new Torah personality, so it's as if he created that person, like Rashi quotes on Chumash, that's a nefesh asher asa b'charen, in the beginning of Lech Lecha, that Avraham Avinu went with the nefesh asher asa b'charen. How can you make human beings with a nefesh asher asa b'charen? So Rashi quotes from the Medrash that Avram is Megayer Sanosh and Asura Megayer Sanosh. So that's called Osu, that's called an Asiya. So the Poskim say Aloha Lamaisa, that just like if one has to rip Kriya for Rabbi Muvok, so if a person was a Goy and he was converted by a certain rabbi, when that rabbi dies, he has to rip Kriya, because that rabbi has the status of Rabbi Muvok, because he made him. He made him into a Jewish personality. Before he was Goy, he made him into somebody new. What's the din of Avi V'Imoy? Why do you have to rip Kriya all of him? Because they made you, they brought you into this world. So Rabbi is also, the Rebbe made the Talmud into a new personality. And the one who is Megayer the Goy is called Anafesh HaShirasa B'choron. That's what the Rav used to explain in the Gemara, in the Rambam, the Din of Shulchan Aruch. The Gemara says in Kiddush, Kol Malach HaShevet Oso L'Rabbi, Talmud Oso L'Rabbi. Any Malach is then an Eved. An Eved belongs to his master. So the Odon has a right to tell the Eved to do work. So just like the Odon possesses and owns the master and Din Imamines, so the Rav explained the Rebbe, if he's a real Rebbe, owns the Talmidim. How does he own the Talmidim? He was kainin them. How is he kainin them? So he gave a whole arichas that Rav Chaim in his safe in Hilchas Ma'avu V'loivim, Perek Chafal Ma'avu V'loivim, as a Yerushalmi that the Rambam quotes, has a reyes, they hefker is chayv and shumas and maisris. What kind of a din is that? But hefker is dachpater. So there are different interpretations. Rav Chaim in his safe learned pshat, when you zareyes, they hefker, the sod, there remains hefker. But the peris that grow, you're kainin, because you're the one who brought it into existence. Whoever creates shvach is kainin that shvach. Whoever creates shevach, whoever creates something, that's what the poskim have lalach about copyright. If I made a painting, or I made a tape, or I made a book, or I have a sefer chedusha Torah, so I have the right to the copyright. I created the shvach the Beis Yitzchok, or Yitzchok Shmelkish, and the other poskim in Europe, they have it like that. Whoever creates shvach is kind of the shvach, and it's all based on that Yerushalmi. So that's what the Rav said, that's the basis of this din. If a Rebbe had such a hashpo on a Talmud, that he is the one who is responsible, he's the Iker one who is responsible for formulating this new personality, the new Torah personality that the Talmud has, so then the Rebbe is kind of that Talmud. So that's why Kol Malach HaShevet Oso L'Rabbi, Talmud Oso the Rabbi. Just like the Eved is the possession of this Odon, the Odon owns him in Din Imamin, and so too the Rebbe owns the Talmud in a certain sense. So that's, I thought that that's what the Rav meant, that he was joking with this Musmach from the Yeshiva, so he said, true, he's your Rebbe Muvok, but are you his Talmud Muvok? What does he mean? L'yayla, most of the Rabbeim in the Yeshiva really didn't have that much, most Rabbanim in the world really don't have that much of a Hashpoah on their Talmidim. They have a little bit here, a little bit there, but Taka, like the Balei HaTaisa say, Rav Chachmasa from the Svarim that we learn. But if you have Taka, this is the Talmud Muvok of that Rebbe, that means that this Rebbe formulated the majority of his Torah personality. By the Rav, it's very interesting, the Rav has such a uniqueness to his style of presentation. He touched so many people he Taka didn't have. He didn't have so many Talmidim Muvokim, but he had many Talmidim who looked to him as Rabbi Muvok, and I think they were all right. He had such a major effect on so many people's lives. He had students who were going to university at the graduate school there in Harvard. All kinds of people came in contact with the Rav, and they were going in one direction. When he bumped into the Rav, true, they didn't all walk in the path of the Rav, but he had such a major impact on their lives that he really changed the direction that they were going in. So that's Taka called Rav Chachmasa Hemenu. He's the person who had the most hashpah in formulating whatever Torah personality these people have. They don't all have the same style Torah personality. Many of them are very far from the Rav's ways of thinking and learning and practice and so on. But whatever Torah personality they have, an awful lot of these people, very many of them, can attribute the majority of that hashpah to Rav Soloveitchik. In this sense, Itaka was Rabbi Muvok and many of his Talmid. It's really very hard to discuss. We learned once the Gemara. The Gemara says that a person has to be very careful when he's Meshabeach HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because we really don't know what Elikus is all about. So if you're going to be Meshabeach, you may, Mi Mal Gros Hashem, Yashmir Kol Tilosan, Mi Roy Lamal, Mi Sheyochel Hashmir Kol Gvirosan. You have to be very careful. The Gemara gives a mashal that someone, the farmer, has no hasoga of riches. He's going to say, oh, the king is so rich, he has $10 in the bank account. What do you mean the king has there? There are other people have $10. $10 is nothing. Or a person doesn't have a hasoga of chochmas, he's going to say, so smart, he knows arithmetic, 2 and 2 is 4, and 5 and 5 is 10, and so on. Well, that's a great depth, that's a great knowledge. So when you start to speak about an Adam Gadol, it's an Adam Gadol Miyoy, so it's very hard to shut up. So I didn't intend really to shut up Rav Soloveitchik. It's very difficult. You don't know where to begin, you don't know where to end. I was just saying some of the impressions that I had from him over the years as far as his attitude and as far as his traditions of Torah. that this, I think, was a big inya, a big theme that was a recurrent theme in his thoughts, and his talks, and his drushes, and his shiurim, a lot about Masorah. He spoke a lot about Masorah, about Moshe Kibbutz Torah Misinah, Masorah Yeshua, that you have to try to strive to obtain the entire Masorah and transmit it in its entirety, and to be very medactic, very meticulous, and very careful. And the Masorah shouldn't be restricted. It should be, you should try to chaparain everything as much as you can, try to understand everything. Person has an obligation. He used to understand the pasuk in the beginning of Bereishis v'chiv shua as a din l'dayrus. I never understood it like that. I thought pruur v'hu milas oratz v'chiv shua. So the Gemara says that koyde matan Torah then umas olam amuchiv and piri v'rivya. But lach matan Torah nit. I the pasuk. So I said this pasuk was a hayra shua pruur v'hu milas oratz v'chiv shua and Bereishis in a noyach. I thought that was just up until matan Torah. Then mishenit Torah neschat shalach. The whole pasuk doesn't exist anymore. Somehow the Rav didn't think so. He thought Puruvu was the Yisrael Namur V'loyle B'nei Noach after Matan Torah switched, but Milas Oratzel Chiv Shua, he thought that that still applied, that every person has an obligation. He thought that this is included, even if you dingzach with that about the Chiv Shua, but he quoted another Pasuk. The Pasuk says, V'halachta B'drachov, that we all have an obligation to imitate the Midas of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Gemara at the end of the first parak in Seita says, V'halachta B'drachov, Mahu Chanon, Apatoh Hayeh Chanon, Who racham afatam? Who kever meis? Who malbisharum im afatoh? He more talks about musa de gezach and midas achesed and so on. But Rav Soloveitchik thought that it goes on more. That he used to say the melitza used to be mahu bere elomais, afatoh bere elomais. He said the Rabban Shalom is very creative, and the Rabban Shalom gave everybody different talents. Each person has an obligation to develop his talents and his kishronos to the best of his ability, and to be as creative as possible. And he should try to be inquisitive, and try to learn more about, try to learn the maximum, try to hop around as much as possible, in whatever area he happens to have his bent. So if a person has a talent in music, a person has a talent in medicine, a person has a talent in physics, or in chemistry, or in mathematics, whatever, so go there. And if a person has a talent in Torah, so he should try to hop around in Chiv Shua. He has an obligation to try to figure everything out and to try to research everything and try to come up with the MS of Pshat and everything, and not stop to stick to the same old seven Mesichtas, try to figure out more and more and more. This was always his, this was a recurrent theme in his Machshav. Okay. Well, Leineta, next week we'll learn a little Brachas. We'll continue with the Brachas. Thank you. Thank you.